Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio. Talk Radio.
Very good evening to you. It's Jake Gap sitting in for Ian Lee all this week, 10 till 1. We've got lots of stuff to actually talk about in the actual show. As always, you can call us. It's 0344 499 1000. What are you doing, Kev? Are you taking a photo of my mixer? My equipment. There we go. Oh, this is the news.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
It's the radio show for night people. Funky, but neat.
Jake Yap, in for late night Ian Lee.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Thing is, which part is funky and which part is neat?
I think I want to be funky rather than neat.
Is it? Well, I wouldn't. It's like sort of the DJ luck and the MC neat, isn't it?
Yes.
You can be DJ
with
funky.
With a little bit of luck, we can make it through.
They were so good. They were so good.
We went out tonight and heard Blast from Our Past, didn't we? And we were the only people in the area for whom it wouldn't have been a vintage song.
If that one that goes, yee!
It was James.
Oh, I don't remember.
This bed is on fire with passionate love. Do you know that song? It's a brilliant song.
I want to talk about music directly, but not now. I'm going to build up.
Going
to
warm
that.
Up to it.
Yeah, because I've got issues, man. There's some issues we need to talk about, you know. And I don't want you to feel like, oh, he's halfway through the run, covering Free and Lee. He's got his feet under the desk now, and now he's getting.
No, but that's exactly what's happening. You're going to get all the stuff out now. You might as well.
It is all going to.
You can lose nothing.
That's true.
Do it.
I'm not going to do it now. Tell me about the road rage.
Road rage, two incidents today driving in. I'm a very chilled yet assertive driver.
Oh, here we go. Not aggressive,
assertive.
But assertive.
Yeah, I think you've got to be, especially like driving around London. Hmm. My driving history was around kind of a semi-rural environment, and there's a definite difference.
What is the difference?
Well, you can't mess about in London, because if you do, people start undertaking you, overtaking you, and taking the mickey. Generally,
I love driving in the country. You can mess about.
Well, yes, driving in the country, you can go maybe one could go maybe faster than one should, but you also
might think that
you also can be more leisurely. But I've always been because I was taught by a police getaway driver,
<You're>
a police pursuit driver. Yeah, my first driving instructor didn't end well because he made. Well,
when you say it didn't end well, were you instrumental?
He made something of an indecent proposal.
Oh.
And, yes, he did.
Wow.
So I started driving lessons with another driving instructor who was a police pursuit driver. and he was very sensible, but didn't mess around.
Yeah. Get your foot down, Catherine. He's getting away.
Go, go, go.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He told
He's
me that
making a left, left, left.
Exactly.
Was it all of that?
Yeah, he told me that whole thing of looking on the horizon, seeing, you know, what you're seeing. I've got eyes on the kid in the corner there. We've got a crossing further up. I can see a red light going to amber. You know, doing that whole thing, right?
Wow.
So I drive quite well.
Yeah.
And if need
be. But do you have to maintain that monologue while you drive?
Only internally.
Okay, fine.
My internal monologue today was rather blue, if I'm honest, because I was driving along and I was coming up the M1.
Yeah.
From the north.
Technically down.
Yeah, yeah. And there is an area on the M1 where they've put in, I think just for the heck of it.
The roadworks.
Well, there aren't roadworks.
No, it's weird barriers. It's like...
They've put in...
It's like being in the green zone in
variable
Iraq.
Speed limits, I think is what they call it. So it goes from 40 to 50 to 60 to 40. You know, it goes up and down, right?
Yeah,
so you've got to be careful. And the thing is, I do this journey every single day. So I know
they're
not playing games. I've seen those lights flash, right? Because sometimes you get wise to the fact that people are going faster than you and they're not getting flashed, right?
Mm.
In this particular stretch, the cameras are working.
Yeah.
So if it says 60, I'm going to go 60 because I am not playing games.
No, you don't want to.
So I was in the outside lane. I'm not calling it the fast lane. It's not the outside. It's not the fast lane. It's for overtaking.
That's right.
At this particular,
he's making a left, left, left.
At this particular point, right, everyone's doing 60 miles per hour. For that was the speed limit.
Okay.
Girl behind me.
Woman.
No.
Okay.
Girl behind me.
International.
In a mini, same as me. You'd think there'd be some sisterhood. There wasn't.
Oh.
Was flashing me, and I was thinking, right, I am not going any faster.
With her, okay.
With her lights. I'm not going any faster.
Yeah.
In fact, if you start tailgating me, I'm just going to take my foot off. Just to show you.
I mean, you are provoking her now, Catherine.
Well, I'm not, because I'm just thinking I'm not going to go any faster. I'm not going to be bullied into, I'm not going to be hectored into going any faster.
Okay.
And frankly, I was on International Women's Day.
Yeah. Of all days?
Of all days. Why would you be doing this to her sister, right? Mm. Who does this all the time. And do not play with me.
Mm-hmm.
So she's doing this and she's coming up. She's coming up really, really close to me, and then dropping back, and she's flashing the lights, and she's clearly showing signs of vexation.
Oh, dear.
And I ignored her, and I ignored her. And I, at one point, touched my brake just to say, get back, because you're being quite dangerous now. Mm. She carries on. And at one point, I'm sure she was flashing her lights to the rhythm of whatever she was listening to on her radio, because it was quite rhythmic.
Okay.
And I just, and I,
what was the song? Could you work it out from the flashing?
It looked like no,
there's no limits.
Exactly.
Which, of course, there were.
Ironically, there was.
Yeah.
It was so 60. She's coming up closer, and I just thought, right, you're being annoying now.
Hmm.
And actually, I can see you've got too much gel in your hair, love, and it's not doing you any favours. So I just thought, for your own good, let's just be sensible, shall we?
Yeah, come on.
And then at one point, I gestured up to the gantries, which kept saying 60.
Yeah.
And I was doing 60.
Right. So how did you, with your...
She undercut me.
She did not.
She undercut me. I'm not proud to say, I'm not ashamed to say either, I gave her the sign for the special blend of coffee beans.
That is a special blend of beans.
And then once we got into the area where at which you could use the lanes properly, because, you know, the speed limit was national speed limit, and I was using the lanes appropriately.
I love that you say the national speed. You really do know the...
I was taught by a policeman.
Yeah.
I was using the lanes appropriately.
Yeah.
She stayed in the outside lane the whole time. And then, of course, she wants to get off.
Of course she does.
Oh, what a pity, because I'm doing the national speed limit and you're being silly.
And the whole time you've been thinking, where do you get off?
I can
off?
See where you are.
Where do you get off?
I can see where you are, my lovely. Mm. So she tries to, she's indicating, I'm not going to let you go past, my darling. Sorry.
My darling.
So that happened.
My darling.
That happened and I won. Then, as I came into London, I came off on the North Circular, and it goes to 40 quite radically.
Yeah.
And you have to be in the right kind. I need to be in the right lane to go
into
London.
Oh, it's a filter
London.
Thing.
Yeah, that whole thing,
right. Yeah.
Otherwise, you can go towards the A1 and the all that.
Yeah, I'll do all that.
So this bloke was behind me, and he came out of nowhere, and it was 40. But he was trying to, I'm going to say it, he was trying to enter me via my exhaust pipe.
He was the potato to
again,
your
again, I'm thinking, do you know what? I'm not playing games today, my friends. What is going on? Have I got something written? Have I got kick me on my back here?
Excuse me. Have I got the word written on my forehead?
I used to have a Nissan Micra.
We've all owned Nissan Micras.
That was kind of kick me, that car.
Really? My Nissan Micra.
And then I had a Honda Jazz again.
I'll tell you about my Nissan Micra in a minute.
Bullied, right? Bullied. Okay. I'm now driving.
Honda Jazz.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was very spacious. I'm not going to apologise for that.
You don't have to.
It was a nice colour. It was proper granny colour as well. It was like that silvery blue that everyone
had. Oh, lovely that.
Anyway, but I could razz them off at the lights. They were, don't mess with me. Again, because I've been trained by a police pursuit driver.
How many times have you used that phrase in your life?
About five times more since we started this programme.
Yeah, in the last 10 minutes.
So he's doing this and he's coming up like behind me. Mm-hmm. And I thought, again, International Women's Day, have some respect, please. Can you give me some personal space?
Yeah, boundaries.
Then he comes alongside me. Mm-hmm. I look across because I'm curious as to why.
Yeah. What's the
going
deal
on here?
Perhaps he's a police pursuit driver.
He did a gesture to me that I have not seen before in that particular form.
Really?
Gesture do you think he did? It wasn't a hand gesture.
Oh.
Well, it was a hand and face. Similar.
That, was it that?
Similar, right?
Okay.
He did.
It was, Ed's doing one.
Yeah, but it wasn't that, right?
Was it this?
You know the one that looks like... You know the one that looks like they're jabbing a stick of rocking, but it's
yeah,
hit the,
yeah,
side,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
hit
yeah,
the cheek
yeah,
rather.
Yeah.
That's the one I would expect. Well, I wouldn't expect that. It would be unusual.
We've all had
it'd
it.
It'd be unusual for the road, I would say. I mean, I think the coffee
It's elaborate.
Beans,
you can only do so many things at once,
the
right?
The coffee beans and the V sign, the backwards V.
Yeah, the classics.
Normal.
The classics.
Maybe the bird.
Mm.
This one, he was like kissing the end of his rock.
He was enjoying it too much.
Like this.
Too much.
But you're not from around here, are you, love? And I looked at him for an extra long time, as if to say, wow, your technique is all wrong.
Yeah, you don't even know how to do it.
That's the closest you've clearly got. Mm. So anyway,
but
what's
he's obviously
going on
thought
with
about it a
what's
lot.
What's going on with people on the road today? There was no need for any of that.
I know. today, of all days, international.
To the point where I thought, for a moment, and I knew I wasn't, am I doing something wrong?
Of course, you always question yourself, don't you?
A moment, and then I thought, no, I think I've just come across two absolute plums.
Yeah, well, did he do those as well?
Well, he did. I don't think he knows about those.
No.
Given his...
Well, that's a lovely story, Catherine. Thank you very much.
Happy International Women's Day, everyone.
Yes, and fellas, I hope you did the washing up for a change. Have I got the wrong... Oh.
Who does the washing up now? Stacking the dishwasher,
no, because I went... As you know, I'm looking for a house, right? I went to a house and they didn't have a dishwasher.
What?
I was like, that's deal breaker. We're leaving. It's a deal breaker.
You know you can buy those.
And the woman said, she was like, oh, I like doing the washing up.
No, you don't.
I was like, what is wrong with you then? How little have you got going on in your life that you enjoy that? And yet, I've met some people like that.
What are you running from?
I've met some people like that. My ex's dad. Oh, love it. Love washing up. Yeah. Put Radio 4 on. This is the days before talk radio.
To be honest, I do enjoy doing the roast dinner on a Sunday, but that is because I lock myself in the kitchen with a bottle of wine.
And then emerge 2 hours later saying...
This is lovely.
I think we'll go to the chip shop again. That sounds like a lot of fun. I might do that.
Anyway, how was your day?
My day was... It was okay, actually. There was no rage. There was no train rage.
How did you celebrate the Day of the International Woman?
Do you know what? Do you want to know? I'll tell you, actually. I read a story about this amazing woman who I'm going to now have to find which tab it's on. Yes, Sabrina.
Mm-hmm. What? Not boys, Sabrina.
No, and not Sabrina from the 50s either.
Not Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
And not Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Her name is Sabrina... Here it is. Pasterski.
Okay.
Have you heard of her?
No. She's not the Sabrina from the 1960s, is she?
Nope. No. That's not, yeah, no, not that Sabrina. No. She is, I think, 22.
What, now?
Yeah.
Gosh, when I was 22, I was doing very little to be celebrated.
And I read a fascinating article saying this millennial might be the new Einstein.
All right. I hate her already. Go on.
This article is fascinating. This is on OZY.com. I don't know how you
What is that.
I don't know. I've no idea. Fake news. I've no idea. One of the things the brilliant minds at MIT do, besides ponder the nature of the universe and build sci-fi gizmos, of course, is notarize aircraft airworthiness for the federal government.
Oh.
Basically, they say, yeah, that plane looks all right. They do that, right?
I think it might be a bit more complicated, but carry on.
Nah, it looks all right. I've looked under the bonnet. There is an engine. So when Sabrina Pasterski walked into the campus offices one cold January morning seeking the okay for a single-engine plane she had built...
Oh.
It might have been business as usual.
I think I love her, never mind hating her.
I know. Except that the plane builder before them was 14.
Mm-hmm.
And had already flown solo. She was 14.
Oh, Sabrina.
And she designed and built... a plane by herself. Now, at 22, she's an MIT graduate and a Harvard PhD candidate. And Stephen Hawking has been quoting her papers in his writing. How amazing is that? What a woman. Incredible. She's got the worst website I've ever seen.
There has to be some mitigating circumstances.
It is lamentably bad. Physicsgirl.com.
Oh.
If you want to have a look.
Okay, let me...
You can see her plane, and it's a beautiful plane. Bright red shiny plane. Lovely thing. So that's what that's how I celebrated International Women's Day. I also took my girlfriend some kimchi.
What's that?
It's a fermented cabbage.
Ooh. Is that her? Because that looks like Blossom.
Yes, that's her.
She looks like... Do you remember Blossom from the 90s?
No. Because I remember...
That is Blossom.
Okay.
Let me find you a picture.
All right. Well, you find me a picture of Blossom, and
She was sassy, but I don't think she'd made a plane.
0344-499-1000. You can tell us how you marked International Women's Day. If you like, you can tell us about road rage, if you like. Or you can talk about anything else that you want to talk about. 0344-499-1000 is the number to call.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Very good evening to you. It is Jake Yap and Catherine Boyle.
Yeah. And just looking at this picture of Sabrina Gonzalez-Pasterski, right?
That's the one.
The one that you've been in awe of, and quite rightly so, all day.
Yeah.
She looks exactly like Mayim Bialik, who apparently is in the big... Is it the Big Bang Theory?
Okay.
Right, but anyway, she was in the 90s. She was... I mean, for heaven's sake, look at that!
It is quite uncanny, actually.
The same woman.
It's well uncanny.
It's well...
That well is... No man. 0344-499-1000 is the number to call. It's the same policy. It's not Ian Lee, but, you know, the door is wide open. Really gaping slackly off its hinges to welcome you. Along. This is your show. It's not my show. It is my show.
Well,
it's kind of my show. It's your... To be honest, it's probably your... It's everyone's show, okay? Mm. Should we talk to not racist Jonathan?
Always.
Jonathan, good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I'm a journalist following up on the RPU, the big RPU strike. Is it true? I'd just like to clarify, Jake.
Oh, here we go. Declared, no, I've said no comment.
You've declared war, Ian Lee. Physical war.
Not physical. It's more of an ideological war.
No.
It's an ideological war. No.
You haven't declared war at all. You didn't know about it.
I was going to save this for later when I was...
Just before you left.
...drunker and more punchy.
My goodness.
Ideologically punchy, not physically punchy. We don't condone violence here.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, Jonathan. If you, I'll give you a quote.
Careful, right? And I just work for the Guardian.
I don't want people thinking that, you know, I've got cocky just because I've got a couple of shows down and so far haven't been sued or physically struck, other than by Ed, which doesn't.
By the way, you're welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Never has a dump button been so invoked so many times. Okay. Here's the thing, right?
Oh, gosh.
I'm just saying, what I'm reporting from the other side, Ian's contingent, they've got a second brassiere with your name on it, and I just want to know how you're going to handle that.
A brassiere or a brassiere? Because they're quite different things.
Yeah. One you set on fire. No, wait. Both, actually.
Especially today.
Well, what I've got written down is brassiere, so...
Well, we'll go with that. So he's got a brassiere with my name on.
This is why you're a print journalist, not a radio one. Yeah.
He's got a brassiere with my name on it.
Yeah,
that's kind of hot. I've got some underpants with his name on it. That's what are the chances? Look, here's what I'm going to say. Right, he's waging war against what he calls Radio Bland. Right.
Yep.
Hashtag Radio Bland is what he's been banging on about.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Hashtag Radio Bland. Is she embracing it?
And I'm going to put this out there. Okay. I'm going to say this, and I know that this is not cool. It's not cool when you come in. The deal is when you come in and you cover for someone who's on holiday, all right? Not striking.
Okay, whatever.
This is leave. This counts as leave, right? And we'll be deducted from his allocated leave. The deal is that you come on and you're supposed to be slightly less good, but just about tolerable enough. So that people will say, you're a holding pattern.
You're not
right?
supposed to leave a skid mark, basically.
Exactly. I'm thinking...
You're the supply teacher.
I'm thinking Richard Madeley doing cover shifts on Radio 2.
Oh, blimey, no, bad example.
Okay. Well, no, he's there, he doesn't...
The skid marks are there for all to see with Richard Madeley. Flipping
heck. Do you know what? He'd love that. Anyway... I know the deal, and the deal is not to stir it up, not to be contentious, and of course, above anything else, you must not undermine the person whose show it is, fundamentally, which is, in this case, Ian Lee, right?
Yeah.
But I'm going to say this.
Oh, no, don't.
Oh, God.
Exactly, Jonathan.
I don't care particularly for the Monkees or the Beach Boys.
Oh, my God.
I think it is tired. It's had its day. It is over. And I'll go even further. I would argue that it has about as much cultural significance as 70s and 80s TV shows.
Which he rails against
so much. Now, I know what he would say to this. What he would say to this is, I don't have a problem with 70s and 80s TV shows. I have a problem with lazy radio presenters leaning on them as a crutch to prop up their flailing shows.
Yeah, and what about White Dog Poo?
But I'm going to say, you're doing the same shtick with the Monkees and the Beach Boys. Yeah.
Wow.
So there's your quote. Go ahead.
The J-Cap also declared war on music.
I will declare it on old music, right?
Oh, my, Jake. I can't
on music.
There is nothing wrong. There was nothing wrong with the Beach Boys. Great innovators. The Monkees were there too. Yeah, I said that.
What about the Bee Gees?
Brilliant. In fact, I take the Bee Gees right now over the Beach Boys.
Okay.
Here's the thing, right?
Oh.
I would say they're comparable to Shakespeare.
Right, justify that.
In as much as it's all...
It was good then.
Irrelevant crap. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. No longer relevant. Yes, they forged a path. At the time, it was revolutionary, exciting stuff. Now, not that relevant. We've all moved on.
Oh, no.
We've all moved on.
Oh, no. Jakey, no.
I'm sorry. 03444991000 if
Jonathan,
you'd like to...
what are your thoughts?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like it's added a lot to the story. Jake Gap also declared war on music when questioned about his comments on Ian Lee. I think it's going to really antagonise the anti-Jake Gap crowd, which have formed in the Ian Lee camp. So,
How do you think I'm doing in all this?
Oh, you're fine.
You're brilliant, Kath.
Yeah, everyone loves Catherine.
Apart from the two people who tailgated me today who think, well, one of them thinks I'm a coffee bean and the other one thinks I need to kiss some rock.
No, I think they wanted to talk about 1780s TV adverts and they were talking about the Kenko ad.
Yes.
And then the other one, I don't know what that
one
was.
I don't know what that one was, but it was certainly a late night.
So, yeah. That's how I feel about it, okay? I'm going to say, you know, waxing lyrical, well, not so lyrical, about the Beach Boys.
Wow,
for
he's
half
taking
an hour.
His plaid shirt off. By the way, Ian wears a lot of Czech shirts.
Yeah, just all right.
Hashtag
fine.
Just saying.
Yeah. That's my stand on it. Because, you know, if he's going to give me a poison chalice, like doing cover, unbeknownst to me, when it's a week of striking against bland radio.
Then you're picking the wrong enemy. I think it was the management that sold you down the river. I mean,
that's true.
They never advised you of the fiery pit into which you were being tossed, literally.
He that's true. But then again, surely. I mean, I heard him listing all the people that he thought were not bland on the radio, and I was not among those people.
Yeah, but...
So for 2 days, I've had the good grace to just not really deal with the subject, but I'm jumping in now. I'm jumping in.
Oh, Jonathan, what have you done?
Well, this is hard stuff. I'm going to pass this on to my editor right now. Thank you very much for your comments. Bye.
He's phoning it in.
Is that really it?
It's
gone.
My dad's a journalist, yeah. And I remember the days. You know when they talk about phoning stories in?
Yes.
And it's kind of...
It means you haven't made any
lazy,
effort.
Lazy, right?
Yeah.
I remember my dad phoning stories in, and they would literally ring up the secretary, because there'd be a woman with a typewriter.
Yeah.
And dictate the story.
That's literally what happened.
That's literally what happened.
Wow.
On my dad's point of view, it was always a football match or something.
Yeah. Well, that's excusable, right? Because he could have been miles away.
He was miles away.
Yeah.
But that's what phoning a story in is all about.
Ah, I did not know that.
But I'm imagining Jonathan now.
Yeah.
Now he'd email it, wouldn't he?
Yeah,
There's no excuse. There's no woman with a typewriter, for heaven's sake.
Well, I should hope there's no women. I don't understand why. Anyway, speaking about International Women's Day, well, I'm talking about equality. Mm. They should be phoning it in too, right?
Well, they are now.
Yeah.
But back in the day, they're all... Do you remember...
Yeah, no, I understand. You know, the typing pool.
You know Joan from Mad Men?
Oh,
that's how I imagine them all.
I never got into Mad Men.
I did, up to a certain point.
I felt like before every scene, it was like there was a momentary tableau, a little freeze frame moment. And I felt like one of the characters was turning around to the camera and saying... The scene you're about to watch was set in the 60s, a time... Or was it the 50s, wasn't it?
Yeah, 50s. To start with, yeah. It moved forward.
A time when attitudes and ethics were rather different to how they were today.
Yeah.
Let's watch and see how it plays out.
I'm going to do something now that's completely out of order. Yes. Unless you're Donald Trump, in which case... Yeah.
This might seem highly controversial, but unbelievably, these were the attitudes that prevailed in the time... I say, I can't be bothered. And there's like, hey, check out him. You know, I was just like, this is boring. Can't bear it.
No, I enjoyed it because it got to a point where the character played by Elizabeth Moss was clearly a bright woman and mm-hmm. she started to get some power and the boys didn't know how to deal with it.
Oh. I
you enjoying your whiskey there?
Yeah, it's nice.
Okay.
Quite stingy. James has texted us, happy IWD, Jacob and Catherine.
Oh, thanks.
I celebrated by trolling any idiot on social media asking when International Men's Day is, informing him it's the 19th of November. Yeah, well, it's you and Richard Herring. It's a busy day.
I like Richard Herring.
I like Richard Herring. Yeah, he's a lot of fun.
He is a whole lot of fun.
He's a whole lot of fun.
International Men's Day is the rest, like the rest of the year, generally, I would suggest.
It's like, yeah, it's a bit, this is like Sports Day used to be for me.
Oh,
at
school. Except Sports Day, oh, dread.
Well,
you?
Yeah, but that was basically the day for everyone else, wasn't it? Whereas sad little bookish boys. Like
and girls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I once feigned an asthma attack to get out of a long distance run.
Oh, I once said I was ill so that I didn't have to go to Broadstairs on a school trip because I didn't want people to see
put
me in
there,
my trunks.
My yeah, right I mean, look, we showed them, didn't we? We showed them!
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good case in point. If you can't even high five, what good are you going to be on Sports Day?
My technique is all wrong.
I left America because I was
not sporty enough.
I was no longer prepared to do high fives. I lived there for 2 years and I'm not doing high fives anymore. I'm English.
You know, my nephews are, my little ginger nephews, are Americans.
Are they?
Yeah, they're both born in America. Oh. Much to Trump's chagrin.
Yeah, Welsh chagrin.
But they do an amazing thing. We had to stop them doing the high fives because they were punching each other. Because that's what little boys will do.
Okay.
But the thing they learnt was this. Look, it was, you do, you know what a tump is?
Fist bump.
Yeah. Potatoes fries.
Oh, when you pull it back.
Lovely. Do you know
pulling back, extending the fingers to make the
fries. Your boy's
going to
love this. Your boy's going to love this.
He's going to love
ready?
That. All right, yeah.
Potatoes fries.
He would love that.
Yeah. Do that tomorrow.
Okay, I'll do that tomorrow. Thanks very much.
But anyway, they're sadly, they came away from America before they got their Georgia drawls. They're both Georgia peaches.
Georgia?
Yes,
wow.
They should have been talking like that. We when we went to visit my sister, we were in Gap. And
is that the shop?
The Gap.
I just thought it was a village.
In the mall in Evans, they lived in Evans, Georgia, which is quite a nice area of Georgia. There, you know, it's really
nice
mixed.
Folks.
Nice. The road to my sister's house went chapel, rest home, funeral parlor, chapel. Seriously, the whole road.
I believe
like,
you.
Because it. And I said to my sister, have they got like an underground tunnel network there? Because it's just for ease of access, so they can just roll people from the rest home, you know, along chapel. I mean, wow. It was amazing. It's Bible Belt, right? But the way they talk is like that, you know, it's beautiful.
Mm.
And we were in Gap and buying something, so most boring English you can possibly use, the kind of, you know. Yeah. And the woman in front of us, on the cash register next to us was like leaning on the counter looking at us doing our thing.
Mm-hmm.
She went, oh my goodness, if I talk like you, I'll talk all day.
That's adorable.
And I was like, well, I like the way you speak. But they do speak very like that, you know, they're a Southern Belle.
Mm. I love that accent.
It's lovely.
Up to a point.
But I can imagine.
Yeah.
You know, it carries a lot of baggage.
It certainly does. We'll talk about that baggage after this. Jake Yap in for late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We have ways of making you talk. 0344-499-1000 is the number to call. It's Jake Yap with Catherine Boyle. Hello, Catherine.
Boom.
Catherine, yeah. Catherine Potatoes Fries.
Catherine, you should be sticking to producing.
Why?
Why?
According to
one person on Facebook.
Then Who said that?
Well, he's gone now, but I had a little look at his...
But that's not what they're saying on Twitter.
Well, I had a little look at his feed, and it was all ladies, and sometimes...
Ladies?
Not ladies. But I don't know whether he noticed. I certainly did. But women in tights.
Yeah, pardon
specific. He's got a definite thing about women just wearing tights.
Okay.
Okay.
That,
I would
think
that the gussets of it. Right. This is the thing.
The gussets. There's
tights.
Yes.
Not sexy once you can see the top of them. Surely.
But
there are some men who've got a thing about black. I wear black tights a lot, but that's because I've got milk bottle legs.
I think black woolly tights, like thick black woolly tights. I think they're awesome.
But that's because I've got very white legs. They used to call me milk bottles at school and ghosty.
Ghosty.
Yeah, ghosty.
That's
because, you know,
harsh,
I've got Irish heritage, so I'm glow in the dark.
Well, then they're racist.
Exactly. You know this now, but back then, you know, everyone was kind of slightly orange. But I always wear black tights. If only he knew, maybe he'd like me a bit more, but he just doesn't like me talking.
No. Well, that's not, you know, well, you can't say it anymore.
It doesn't matter.
Well, you can't
it
say
doesn't matter.
You can't say it anymore. You can't say it anymore. Well, I would have said, you know, I could say it a few years ago. Well, you know, I don't think women's plans, but you can't say it anymore. You can't say it anymore. Of course, you can't say it anymore, you
and
idiot.
And yet they do.
Yes, they do. In so many words, they say. It's all coming back. It's all coming back. You wanted to talk about, and I wanted to talk about this very charming story in the Mirror today.
Yeah.
About an illiterate pensioner.
Yeah.
Who is finally learning to read at the ripe old age of 87.
Part of me thinks, what's the point now? Well, because books, when you're first learning to read, I'm around someone who's learning to read, age, you know, she's five. Mm-hmm. And it's brilliant to see the voyage of discovery. But the books are boring for a good 3 years, I would suggest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's look, yeah. Look.
See the ball. See the dog. The dog has eaten the ball.
Yeah.
See the hospital.
Exactly.
See the cemetery. Yeah. So, well, what I love about her, she's called Ursula. Ursula Shepherd.
Ursula.
She's never voted, written a letter or filled in a form. She's now hoping to read love stories.
Oh.
Come on, you've got to love that.
When my grandma was
know how
very
to
ill,
we locked on to Pornhub.
Well, baby
Sorry,
steps.
Got, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Baby steps. You'll be yeah. Googling next
I'd
year.
I'd like to read the love stories.
Okay, you've got to have a look at this, Grandma.
Yeah.
When my gran was ill, my aunties were reading to her. And,
oh, that's nice.
Well, she liked a romantic novel, and they
oh,
were reading
yeah.
her certain bits. And
oh, yeah.
My auntie, I think it was Edna, got to a point where she went, I got to a certain area of the book, and it was... I said, oh, you don't want me to read this. Carry on.
Don't stop now. No, absolutely. My grandmother, she had a separate bedroom to my grandfather. And
oh.
then he died. And that's where she stashed all of her...
porn.
Romantic novels, let's call them. Barbara Taylor Bradford's and stuff. And then me and my cousin, when we went and stayed at
Barbara
my grandmother's...
Barbara Taylor Bradford was always, wasn't it, the common yet feisty... Was she like Catherine Cookson?
I have no idea because I never read the plot. All I knew was that around page 50 and around page sort of 110, you were going to get some good stuff.
But was
me
it
and
good?
My cousin, when you were 14, 15 and the internet hadn't been invented, yeah, it was brilliant. Me and my cousin would go and stay there and we would thumb our way through all of these books, reading out the rude bits to each other. I can still remember one key phrase when I was like, what does that mean?
Go on.
He embraced the fountainhead of her womanhood.
Gee whiz.
Well, hopefully not. But yeah, they were brilliant, those books. And what I also discovered, because I've written, we've got some erotic literature coming up.
I mean, very thinly veiled 12, erotica.
Well, I mean, the thinner the better.
Do you...
12:45 tonight, we've got that coming up. But all of that stuff is based on those novels that
yeah.
I read with my cousin in my grandmother's spare bedroom.
My mum was reading one... by Catherine Cookson, I think, when my sister was born. My sister was very nearly Hannah, because there was a girl called Hannah Boyle in this thing.
Oh, really?
But she would have been a Geordie. She would have been a fine Geordie lass, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, she was very nearly Hannah because of Catherine Cookson. But they were always, you know... soot stained working-class girls. But
was
always,
it?
Yeah, they're, with Catherine Cookson.
Right.
But they were always... of a noble spirit, you know.
And I thought it was always like sort of big country manners and you must marry well, but oh, look, he's a bit tasty. The bloke.
I think that might be more. What was the first one you mentioned?
Barbara Taylor Bradford.
Yeah, I think she yeah. had a slight set higher. I yeah. got a Jackie Collins, not Jackie Collins. Who did yeah. Riders?
Jilly Cooper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jilly Cooper, I've interviewed and she was very charming. And
yeah.
I interviewed her about love letters. This was a big sort of mid-90s, and
yeah.
it was when, you know, emails and stuff. I mean, it was pre-Tinder, for heaven's sake. Love letters these days are a damn
yeah,
sight
yeah,
more
yeah.
fleshy than they were when I was growing up. In fact, I found some of my love letters, and I've kept them. Is that terribly disloyal?
No.
Because I think when I'm 80, I want to know that other people fancied me. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, some of them are quite rude, and I wouldn't want my daughter reading them now. But
well, that rude? What, really?
Yeah, quite rude. It was really? the '90s, you know. It was the '90s.
Yeah. Oh no, you shouldn't keep them. I thought you meant like really cute, sort of like
no.
early teens kind of
dirty rhymes, like revolting rhymes.
Dirty rhymes.
Yeah.
Dirty. I've written you a poem. Roses are red, violets are blue.
I would definitely
like
would,
to,
and
would,
blah blah
yeah,
blue.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would. Do
I've kept
you.
Them because I would quite. Yeah, have you read them?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because My ambition has always been, and I've kind of fluctuated away from it, but now I think I was right, to be an interesting grandmother. And I'd quite to shock them once I've gone.
What's that awesome poem? I know we're not supposed to do poems on the station, but
that was rubbish.
Well, you know when I'm you know the when I'm old, I shall dye my hair purple and all of that.
I'm going to do all that stuff, but I kind of want to do it on the way to that old age as well.
Yeah,
but I'm keeping the love letters.
The erotic prose thing. I've written quite a lot of erotic prose during my illustrious career. Of semi-employment, and I used to do it as stand-up. I would share a passage with people, and I was doing it in Edinburgh, and I was doing a free show in Edinburgh. Mm. There's quite a lot of free shows in Edinburgh, and you can just go in. And the thing was that people just go into Shelter from the Rain. Yeah. It's always raining in Edinburgh, you know,
and it's always uphill, so you need a breather or to be dry.
An August day in Edinburgh is kind of like late November in London, right? I mean, it's just awful. So pensioners would come in, literally just for a sit-down between shops and stuff. And it was always the little old ladies that would laugh the hardest at the dirty.
They
lapped
stuff.
It up. So this Ursula from Exmouth, Devon.
Oh, yes, back to the point.
Yeah, so she's attending weekly sessions at her local education centre. And she can read simple words like cat, bag, and run.
Oh, good!
And is learning how to decipher full sentences. And ultimately, she wants to read love stories. And I really love. There's this quote. Let me find the quote from her where she talked about going to a library once. And actually, we're talking about dirty books and stuff. But this is.
Oh, actually, look! Whatever gets you reading, who cares? Why be snobbish about it?
No, I do agree. I do agree. But she said, "Listen, this is a quote from her." She said, "I went to the library in Taunton once, many, many years ago, and I said, oh, I wish I could read. I just love the people and all the books. I hope I can inspire other people to learn to read. People say they're too embarrassed, but I would love to help them."
Oh, bless her.
Doesn't that just... I mean, I know I did a silly voice, but that is actually very touching.
Yeah, it is.
It's very moving, the idea of going to a library and just going, this is amazing.
But also, I am the owner of a 90-odd-year-old grandmother, and
congratulations.
She says at her age, there's no point putting a long playing record on, never mind starting a big book. So for this woman to be starting to read is brilliant, don't you think?
It's
the most optimistic thing I can think of.
No, I love it. It's just
that aside from, I don't know, IVF or getting married at her age.
A very funny tweet we've had from French Tickler, which says, "I used to work in a library, and honestly, the Mills and Boone books returned by the dirty old lady stank."
Oh!
Of stale lady, and I can't say the last
word. Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's never too late. We'll be back with more after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee. On the Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I know where we were going.
Well, we were just concluding that 50 Shades of Grey
is rubbish.
It's rubbish, isn't it? It's not good enough.
I was talking about Gilly Cooper.
Riders.
Sorry, wasn't rude enough for me.
No.
And I left it halfway through. Mm. So one day I might read it if I'm like trapped in a room where they've only got Riders. And the cover is sexy, isn't it?
They changed
the cover in later years, yeah.
Did they?
Yeah, because the early cover, his hand was right next to her seam of her joppers. And then in the later ones, his hand was further away and
quite
she had a skinnier bum. Anyway, Gilly Cooper was really, really, really charming. And I was talking to her about love letters and, you know, whether it was terribly disloyal to keep them and stuff. And I think her conclusion was, no, it's all part of your history. And,
you
know, your children will be quite wise by the time they get to read them.
Well, there's that podcast, isn't there? My Dad Wrote a Porno.
Oh, my goodness. Have you read that? Have you heard that? Because I've heard
them
all.
I listened to the first one today. It was quite entertaining.
Right. I started listening to that and I thought, oh, okay, right, fine.
Yeah.
I listened to them all.
Okay.
And they had me, I mean, it's not, I mean, it's terrible stuff. It had me absolutely in tux all the way. You know, I used to drive here and back and I listened to that. And I'm listening to a very rude podcast right now called Guys We Effed, basically.
Right,
have you seen that one?
No.
Very rude girls. It's kind of My Dad Wrote a Porno plus.
Right.
And again, for the first five, I was thinking, why am I listening to this? And then I was thinking, actually, it's quite funny.
Yeah.
Because it's basically men they've had encounters with.
Yeah.
And their rundown of what happened, which none of us want to do, but we all want to listen to. exactly. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Anyway, Gilly Cooper.
Yes.
Brilliant. I interviewed her. Very charming. I mean, it was all about love letters and how the art of the written word is falling by the wayside. Yeah. You know,
because in those drawings.
In those days, it was like it was Friends Reunited, and it was MySpace, and that was the big danger for marriages because people were finding their old girlfriends and stuff.
And then ITV bought it.
Yeah.
And then ITV bought it. Yeah.
And then about a week later, I received a card from her.
That's so nice.
Yeah, really nice. A very classy thing to
do. An actual handwritten card.
Handwritten card saying how much she'd enjoyed the interview and how much she thought it was important to keep the written word going. And I've still got it. And it was a really nice card.
Oh, that's nice.
But she's a really good, you know, she's great.
Do you know what? I find it quite hard. I'm seeing in shops sort of you can buy things that look like they were handmade, but they weren't.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
I guess we just don't have the time anymore, do we?
Some women do. Some women have too much time.
Well, and men.
Well,
this isn't all just about women.
Well.
Is it? Perhaps it is.
That's partly why I'm not on Facebook anymore, because I see examples of, you know, cakes people make on a weekly basis or cards that they do.
Yeah, but that's just phony, isn't it? I mean, if you believe that someone's life is like it looks like on social media, then more fool you.
True.
Because you're just picking the best bits.
True, but when I was
selling
on,
yourself.
When I was on maternity leave, I did spend a lot of time making stuff, and I think it's because I'm a creative person and I was going nuts without producing something at the end of the day, you know.
What's it like being a creative person?
It was good. I made a lot of sock monkeys. I was really good at sock monkeys.
What's a sock? Well, that sounds euphemistic.
No, it's not euphemistic. I'll show you a picture. I had a little company called Socks on Legs.
That's good.
It was amazing. Do you know what? I could possibly have made it into a proper business, but it stopped being fun because I was making the sock monkeys at first because I was being invited to a lot of other people's christenings and a lot of my friends were having babies and I couldn't, you know, I was on.
Yeah. No money.
It was £0.
Yeah.
So I was making these things and they were bespoke and they were different and it was, you know, there was a lot of heart and soul went into them. Mm. I was making it for people who I cared about.
Yeah, and then you don't want to get into that.
It went around, you know what? And it went around on Facebook and all of a sudden I get, can you do this, but can you do it in this colour? And have you got, you know, and it stopped being fun. And also when you have to put a price on it, the amount of labour I didn't have the front to do it.
You should go in Dragon's Den. We've had some stuff coming in via text and tweets. Thanks very much. 87222, start a text message with the word talk, or you can tweet at Talk Radio or at Jake Yamp or at Flipping
Cat. Is it you?
Do you know what? I think it's my phone. I think it's near the mix thing.
There's always a problem in this.
I put my phone studio. Over there. Yeah, there's always a problem. we were talking earlier about being in the deep south of America. And Dan says that a Southern Belle musician once called me darling.
Oh, it's lovely, isn't it?
And my arm hair stood up.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah, yeah. And
but they like how we speak and I can't get
that. I know,
that.
It's such a big thing, isn't it? Jem says that he went snowboarding in the States. I'm terrible, he says. I inadvertently slid between two women throwing snowballs at each other and apologised profusely.
Oh, they love that Hugh Grant thing. I'm terribly sorry. Yeah.
And what he got back was, oh my God, I love your accent! oh gosh, thank you! I replied as I wobbled over the edge of the piece. I never saw them again. Better that way.
Yeah.
He also says, sweet baby Jesus, I'm in trouble if this is a representation of the best bits of my life. That's not a bad bit!
No, it's great.
The only thing I've got to rival that is when I lived in the States and I had to phone up my cable TV company and got some awful, godforsaken hole in the middle of the Midwest.
And they said,
can I just say I love your accent?
I love your accent. Well,
thanks very much. Now please sort out my cable.
But I love how they talk. But we grew up with that whole, like, America being cooler thing, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. We did. I mean, yeah, ever since the war, right?
Oh my goodness, I totally would have. If I was one of those women, for like a chocolate bar and some nylons, I can completely see why they did. Because those guys came over.
Yeah.
And they were just, you know, they're exotic.
And they did dancing and all the rest. I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
I know, you're there, aren't you?
One of my aunties did, my great aunties, one of my granddad's
sisters.
One of
the good ones, yeah.
And she went over and she thought she was moving in with this American guy in Kansas and it was going to be amazing. She ended up in like this dirt hole.
Yeah, that's the trouble. We never set up a safe word for today's show.
Oh, what's it going to be?
We're 51 minutes in. We didn't do
it. I love your accent.
We did have some suggestions.
Go on.
Actually, Dan said, could it be pursuit? I can't remember what that was. Dan says also...
Pursuit vehicle, police pursuit.
Oh, yeah. Also...
Left.
He's making a left onto Glebe Road. why not? We'll have pursuit then. If there's anything that you want us to stop. And I would make the point that we are going to be doing some Choose Your Own Adventure erotica about 2 hours' time. You just have to tweet or text us the safe word, which today is pursuit. And Al said... Ayn Rand would be grimacing at the fountainhead of her womanhood quote. Oh. That was a quote from Barbara Taylor Brown. I don't think Ayn Rand wouldn't care, would just be going, I don't care, kill them all. Ayn Rand, man, she was a piece of work, huh?
Who is that?
I don't know that much, but she wrote a novel.
Ayn Rand.
It's A-Y-N.
All right.
But I think it's pronounced Ayn Rand. She wrote a novel, and her whole thing was about there is no such thing as morality. Correct me if I'm wrong. 0344-499-1000. You should just sort of
put it where
pursue
you want.
Whatever you want to do, and you know if people fall by the wayside, well, it's the natural order of things.
Oh, wow.
And capitalists, like, they latched onto this in like 50s and 60s, I think, in America, and they were like, yeah, this is the future. This is the way it should be. It's a famous. You'll have heard of the book. Hang on, let me. Here we go.
What's it called?
Let me just. Ayn Rand. The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. You've heard of that, right?
No, but I'm going to inform myself.
She was Russian, and it was called Objectivism, and she did a whole thing, and blah blah blah. Anyway, a lot of the kind of the right wing of America, they kind of latched onto her thing, saying, "Yeah, this is the way forward, and this is what we
the
should
right
do.
Wing thought that was right."
Yeah,
because it sounds quite permissive.
Well, it was quite sort of libertarian. So you should have the right to aggressively pursue whatever you want.
Well, even if it's female sexuality, because usually the right wing's quite against that.
Jem says alt-rand.
Alt-randy.
it's the whole kind of greed is good thing. Uh-huh. It's the whole kind of capitalistic philosophy of the strongest will survive, others will perish, but so be it.
All right.
As opposed to
so she's
the
not
kind
talking
of
about
hippie communist kind of here.
She's
let's
not talking about free love then,
and...
I thought.
No. She's talking about just you
sort yourself out.
You go for whatever you want to go for.
So to speak.
Sort yourself out because I'm tired and sleepy. So, yes, there. Yes. I think that was what she was talking about. 0344-499-1000. That's a hackneyed path, isn't it? Talking about Ayn Rand and her philosophies
It's fair enough.
This is the trouble, you see. Ian, with his whole business of going on strike against bland radio.
Well, it ain't bland,
it makes
it?
Me second guess everything I want to say. I was like, hey, let's talk about...
Listen, you do you, let him do him.
I'll do myself.
Well.
And he can do his own...
Yep.
All right. That's a good idea.
It's the only idea, my friend.
And you quite like Harry Potter, don't you, Daniel Radcliffe?
Well.
Oh, I thought you did.
Well.
Oh.
I'm rediscovering him through my children.
Yeah.
But I do remember at the time, I read the books.
Yeah.
And I thought they were fun.
Yeah, they were great.
And I watched the movies and I thought, they were getting better.
Oh, they got progressively much better.
Yeah.
Because he was their friend! He was their friend!
You watched the... And I think she's Can't been pulled it. Up for it, but... And it's unfortunate because she's not the only one who did it.
Who, what?
Hermione.
Yeah.
Who my girls see Emma as a hero and quite rightly so.
Yeah.
But in the early ones, you can see her mouthing the words like kids do in school plays.
Oh, come on, they were kids!
I know they were, but they were professional kids and they got
they
paid
were
a lot
kids.
Of money for
no,
it.
No, they were kids, man, you can't do that.
Oh, they were lucky. They were lucky.
They were lucky.
Yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe was quite lucky, I think. He's still on stage. Oh, no, he's come off now. He's just down the road.
Oh, I like him, though.
So he's
I think it's really hard to grow up in this... It must be really hard to grow up in the spotlight.
Of course.
And
I wouldn't... Yeah, it's a really...
Really fortunate to not become a massive idiot.
Yeah.
Because I would definitely have become a massive idiot. I did become a massive idiot, and I did that outside of the spotlight. And you're lucky if you can do that without everyone knowing about it.
Then there are all the millions. I mean, you can just enjoy...
Well...
Can't you? I don't know. I don't know, never having had them.
No.
Anyway, there's this review. It was their opening night at the Old Vic in London. He's doing Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Oh, God, that's a hard one.
I don't know anything. Tricky. I don't watch it. I did it at school. Hate plays. Of all the cultural artifacts, plays are like my number one hate thing. Shakespeare, hate it.
That's two guys on a... That's two guys, basically.
Yeah, it's based on a Shakespeare thing, and they're like...
Well, yeah, Hamlet turn, they're waiting for Hamlet to turn up.
Got a bit, yeah, okay. Anyway, my point being, I saw this headline... for this guy's review, Quentin Lett's first night review. Right?
Quentin Lett's review.
It's in the Daily Mail.
And yeah, of course it is.
I thought, you thought of this headline long before you saw the play. Because it's like, the title, the headline, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Drone.
Oh. Okay.
And then he gives it 3 out of 5, which is not bad. It's like, you thought of that long before you... You were going to put that in whatever. It was going to be...
It's a tricky
play.
Could have
been a 1-star review or a 5-star review. You were going to give it that title because that was the best title.
It's a tricky play, man.
And I'm judging you accordingly. Quentin Lett's. But yeah, I mean,
Quentin.
Alan says, I've lived in the South for 15 years and I cannot take another, oh my God, I love your accent. Best just to avoid talking.
Oh, come on. His name?
He says,
Alan. I bet you've milked it.
He says, plus I'm from Wakefield.
Oh, Wakefield.
Nothing wrong with Wakey. I spent some good times in Wakey, living in Martin Kellner's spare bedroom.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like Martin Kellner.
Yeah, he's a nice man. Anyway, we'll be back after this. Talk Radio. Very good evening to you. It's Jake Abbott in for Ian Lee all this week, and I'm having the loveliest time here. Thank you very much for staying with me. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call. We have a couple of calls lined up, but why don't you just give us a ring? In the meantime, here are the latest news headlines.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over.
Jake Abbott in for Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Very good evening to you, Jake Yap, with Catherine Boyle here and Ed Swift there. All right, mate.
No, Ed, keep your microphone open.
Yeah, keep your microphone open.
We might need some audience participation for the next one.
0344 499 1000 is the number to call as ever. And yeah, on anything you want to talk about. And someone who knows himself, I think, and knows what he wants to talk about is Ken in Newcastle. Good evening.
Good evening, Jake, and good evening, Catherine.
Hello.
It's very lovely to hear from you. How are you?
I am wonderful, and I've got a most wonderful experience to talk about tonight, if you'll allow me.
Stupendous.
Sounds good. Wonderful... Is that okay?
Well, depending on... I mean, obviously, you know, it's a family show, but go on.
In the year 2000, on the 30th of July, I had a wonderful experience.
Oh, yeah.
I almost died.
I know that feeling.
I had a tremendous heart attack.
Oh, crikey.
Yes, but I had a wonderful, wonderful... in fact, I'm very thankful to God that I had a heart attack. I'll tell you why.
Tell
and
me.
I'll let you sing a song at the end of it, if you'll allow me.
Why not?
We're trying to tell you the good news here.
Yeah, sounds good.
I was going to church one Sunday morning,
yeah,
and I had a shower, and then I got a very funny pain in my shoulder.
Terrible.
And I dried up, and then I said to myself, I'll walk that off. So I took off to go to church. I walked to church. It was not far from my home.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, as I walked out the door, the sweat started to pour out my forehead.
Oh.
Run out my forehead, and I felt dizzy. And
I just say at this point, Ken, this is not sounding like a good day.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a good day.
This is a wonderful day. This is a day I'll never forget.
Let's fast forward to the good bit.
Go on. So tell us, you had the heart attack.
This is wonderful.
Okay, tell us the wonderful. Carry on.
Right. Anyway, I went for a walk, and I get very dizzy, and my neighbour was cutting his grass just next to two doors down. And I couldn't speak. I just was feeling extremely weak. So I stopped and I slumped down at his stone dike in his front garden.
A stone dike?
And he phoned up the ambulance immediately. Never said a word. He just looked at me, took out his phone in his pocket and phoned up the ambulance.
Wow.
The ambulance came and picked me up and took me to the hospital. I lived in Lincoln at the time, Lincoln City.
Wow.
And I was beginning to feel like inside a log. I was fully compos mentis, but my strength was ebbing away in the ambulance. Anyway, I recognized they were taking me into the emergency. They put me in the trolley and they rushed me into the emergency. And then I was just like being in a log. And
when, when you say it was like being in a log, what does that mean?
Inside, I was totally alive inside, but my body wouldn't move.
Okay, so you sort of felt paralyzed.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I get very, very scared. And I was a Christian at the time, following the Lord. I was a Christian.
Yeah.
And as a Christian, you're not supposed to be scared when you die. But I get very, very scared, Jake.
Why? What skeletons have you got in your closet, Ken?
Well, what happened was, it's a feeling of aloneness and helplessness. I felt totally alone and totally helpless. It's a fearsome experience, that part of it. Anyway, what I did was, in my spirit, I called out the name of Jesus 3 times. I called out, Jesus, 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 help me, forgive me. And all of a sudden, the fear went away,
right,
and the presence of God came over me. I never saw a light, nice. I never saw Jesus, I never saw a vision of heaven, but his presence came over me. It was so wonderful, I'm even thinking about it right now. It was beautiful, gave me courage, it was peace, it was love.
But that's fantastic, Ken. I mean, that is everything that is wonderful about religion, isn't it? I mean, that is
wonderful.
That is the great gift that religion gives you.
I mean...
Some would say
Jake,
not Ian.
Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it. No, it's Ian. For the purpose of this, it's okay, Ian. It's fine. Ian Lee, good to talk to you. I mean, and so obviously you were okay, right?
Yes, I was resuscitated.
Yeah.
They resuscitated me, two shots with the thing in your chest. My son told me later what happened.
Crikey.
Anyway, I was in the hospital recovering. And a Christian man in the church I was going to came to pray for me. And he prayed for God to heal my heart. And God healed my heart. And when I go for an ECG, I haven't been for one for a long, long time now, it doesn't even show up in the ECG. Mm. There's no scar on my heart. And for the past 17 years, I've been in wonderful health.
That's fabulous.
By the grace of God. This is wonderful.
Can you? I mean, it is wonderful. And genuinely, I'm overjoyed. I'm very glad that you're healthy and happy and here. And B, I'm glad that for you, your God steered you through that. Here's my curiosity.
Yes.
My father had almost exactly the same experience as you, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, exactly the same. Had a heart attack. Had to go to hospital, was unconscious, totally out. It was very scary. And now, and then they did the tests afterwards, and his heart completely healed. He doesn't remotely believe in God, right?
Right.
So why did God, I mean, what's the deal there? You know what I'm saying?
You know, that's a wonderful question. You know what God taught me in that?
Tell me.
God taught me a lesson as a Christian. He taught me the difference of a person dying without Jesus. When you die without Jesus, it is a fearsome aloneness. You step into eternity. I never went into hell, but I was in the valley of the shadow of death.
Right.
When a person dies without faith in Christ, they go alone into the valley of the shadow of death. But when you go with believing in Jesus, you go in with joy and peace and love in your heart, because Jesus goes with you. So you either die alone in fearsome terror, or you die with Jesus in victory. This is the Lord, Lord showed me. And God told me then, Ken, tell as many people as you can about me.
Yeah.
Tell them that I love them and they must repent and believe in him to get to heaven. Yeah. And
while I sort out Bangladesh.
I'll sing you a wee song about that now.
Oh, yeah, all right, let's have the song. Let's big foot. You've got to end on a song, Ken. Here we go.
Yes, this is a wonderful song.
Okay.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. For when we stand in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before. In that mighty name of Jesus, we have the victory. Hallelujah. That's wonderful, Ian.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Ken. We had a wonderful time.
Thanks, Dave.
All the best.
God bless you both. God bless everyone.
God bless you, Ken. All the best. Thank you so much. Can I share with you, Kath, some of my favourite Bible quotes?
Go on.
Psalms 81:10. Do you know Psalms 81:10?
Probably, but just remind me.
Open wide your mouth and I will fill it.
Okay.
It's one of my favourites. Isaiah 16:11. Would you like to hear that one?
Well.
Wherefore my bowels shall sound like an harp for Moab and mine inward parts for Kirish.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
Kings 12:10. My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins.
Oh, dear.
And finally, Song of Solomon 5:4. My beloved extended his hand through the opening, and my feelings were aroused for him.
Oh, it's poetic stuff.
Thank you very much indeed. 0344 499 1000. If you've got any Bible quotes you'd like to share with us, we hugely appreciate them. There were some very funny things coming through on Twitter that I cannot read out, but thank you very much for them because I've enjoyed them hugely. They've kept me going. Thank you. Thank you very much. Very nice of you. Should we talk about Gareth Gates?
Oh, yeah. Let's.
Because this, what this all taps into, we're gonna start with Gareth Gates, and then we're gonna come into a universal truth about comedy.
Right, go on.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on.
I do that a lot, but I'm just breathing.
Yeah. Okay. In the Sun today, there's a story about Gareth Gates, beloved pop star who started on Pop Idol, was it, or is it the X Factor? I can't remember.
Whichever.
It doesn't really matter.
Did he win?
It was him and Will Young, wasn't it? They went to
Will Young came second, right?
I can't remember.
Oh, but I remember in his white suit, and he was him and his sister, and, you know, it was squeaky clean, and there was a whole Katie Price thing, which I still can't get my head around.
Do you know what? I met Gareth Gates once and got quite drunk with him, and he's the nicest guy.
I imagine he is.
He's the nicest, funnest, most unassuming guy. Anyway,
Do you think that was real?
What?
The Katie Price thing.
Oh, who knows what gets cooked up in the name of publicity?
That's what I think. Cooked up.
During an appearance on Wednesday's This Morning, that's today's This Morning, This Morning's This Morning, the 32-year-old unveiled his new look. This is a haircut. It's a more swept-over style, which some compared to the classic comb-over on social media. One viewer wrote on Twitter, "Looks like Gareth Gates is losing his hair. Oh. Hashtag comb-over, hashtag This Morning." While another wrote, "Oh dear, what's happened to Gareth Gates' hair?" A third simply wrote, "Gareth Gates, this morning, that hair," with a number of monkey covering its eyes emojis, which is definitely the greatest emoji that's ever been deployed. I cannot sanction jokes about bald people. I hate jokes about bald people. It is one of my proper bugbears.
Can I add something to jokes about bald people?
Please jump in.
Jokes about ginger people.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's the same thing.
I have personal reasons for that, but I get the bald thing too.
I completely agree. And Belgians. I'll throw that one in too. Why is it okay to be rude about Belgians? Like, people, I think blokes, for blokes, going bald, it's probably quite true, as it would be for women. Going bald is a really traumatising thing. People would never laugh at you if your teeth fell out.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you started losing your teeth one by one, no one would make jokes about that.
Here's an honest thing, right?
Yeah.
I am going to be 40 this year, and I hate the idea because I don't feel like I'm going to be 40. I've got this idea of when you're 40, your life is sorted and you know who you're going to be and all that stuff, right?
Got news for you,
no,
sister.
The thing is, our generation, we didn't get houses until we were into our 30s. So by the time you're 40, you're kind of still at that stage that your parents would have been when they were 29. Right?
Yeah.
So you know, I'm not massively thrilled about the idea. I certainly don't want a 40th birthday. I don't have birthday parties generally. I kind of want to hang out with my mates, and I don't want a massive fuss about, you know.
Just have a little cry by yourself.
I don't want to cry about it, but birthdays to me are things that kids celebrate. I'm not massively bothered about it, right? So I'm getting to that stage in life where I realise that I'm no longer the age of the pop star. I'm no longer the age of the person who is kind of fetishized by this generation.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is particularly a woman thing, would you say?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. But I also think men get that way too, when you realise, oh God, I'm supposed to be a grown up now.
Right.
That whole thing. I hang out with my kids so often that sometimes I have to pinch myself to remember I'm not one of their friends and I'm their actual mother.
Yeah.
And they're not going to get a better one or a different one. And they can't call the management, which I'm sure they would like to do.
An ombudsman, I think.
Yes.
Sort of ACAS.
You know, I'm the best
they're going to get. For toddlers.
I'm the best they're going to get. And I'm, because I remember growing up thinking my mum was the sun, moon and stars. But actually, she was 21 when she had me and probably had as little clue as I have.
If it's any consolation, the French tickler says, I'll be 42 this year. As in, I'll be 40 this year.
And it's a weird thing.
And I'm still an idiot.
Yeah.
Quite right.
Yeah, and I still don't know who I want to be when I grow up.
Mm.
You know, that's the scary thing.
Mm.
And actually, most of the interesting people I know still don't know who they want to be when they grow up.
I know some very boring people like that too, though.
But the
people who live in Brighton. I've said it.
The other thing is, I'm aware that from here on out, women start to become invisible. And I can only imagine that when you start to lose your hair, and I know people who started to lose their hair from their mid-20s.
Talking about men?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the same thing, that feeling of, oh my goodness, it's starting to ebb away, this kind of youthful thing that everyone is searching for. You know, you look at the magazines, they've all got amazing hair and amazing skin. And I know half of it is, you know, cyber-generated these days. But everyone's got lustrous hair and stuff. And I can't imagine what it must feel like to be a man and to be in your mid-20s, you know, and onwards, and to feel that going. And there's nothing you can do about it, right? No. From here on out, I sometimes catch sight of pictures of me and I think, oh, I'm getting that, like, old lady chops, you know, like jowly things. And I know that it's not massively noticeable to everyone else, but I can see that my skin is not as tight as it used to be when I was younger.
Mm.
So no one likes that reminder. And so I would never laugh at a man for losing his hair and trying to scratch back as much as he can, right? So this whole thing with Gareth Gates, and it does look like his hair is thinner than it used to be and he's trying something new with it.
Mm-hmm.
And people are laughing about it on Twitter. Mm. You wouldn't do that to a woman.
No. And
women do crazy things to themselves in order to keep young. You know, like, look at, there are 23-year-old women plumping up their lips to the point where it looks like they've got two flipping beanbags sewn in there. and their boob, you know, the whole thing. So why is that okay?
I regret my butt implants massively.
That is another crazy thing, right?
Yeah, why did
As someone
I do
who's
that?
Always had quite a big bum, I can't believe that now that's a thing.
Me? Yeah. You and I were, in a very literal sense, ahead of the curve. I'll be talking about how all of this applies to a very basic law of comedy after this.
Uncut after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation.
Jacob, in for late-night Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yes, it's uncircumcised after... Where's your,
wow!
Where's the dumb button? 0344-499-1000 is the number to call if you'd like to, I don't know, maybe sing us a hymn. I went to a wedding, I think. I went to something recently. Maybe it was a funeral. I literally can't remember. I can never remember anything. The worst thing about being vegan is you don't have enough B12. And B12 is all about memory retention. And
right.
The trouble is, so I keep forgetting to take B12.
Okay.
Because I haven't got enough B12 in my system to remember to... And then I go to shops thinking, God, I wonder if we've got any B12 at home. I should buy some just in case. So now I've got a house filled with B12 that I'm not taking.
Right, these supplements, because I remember that I should be taking all these things. And I'll go through 3 weeks where I take them and I think, I feel amazing! I feel invincible!
Mm.
They don't stay in your system very long, do they?
Well, I can't believe that out of, say, I don't know, a kilo of pizza and 1.5 kilos of ice cream, my gut is that smart that it can pull out 300 milligrams
exactly.
of omega-3 from a supplement capsule. How? It's not going to be, oh, there it is, there it is, guys, over there.
Hold on to this.
How's it possibly going to find it amidst 2.5 kilos of garbage? Anyway, Ken very sweetly sang to us earlier, and I wanted to share, I was at, I think it was...
It was a spiritual occasion. Let's just call it that.
I can't think what it was. Anyway, I went there.
Yeah.
And I had to sing Morning Is Broken.
Oh.
It's a lovely song, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which do you know version? The second, well, do you know the second verse?
Yes. I went to a Church of England school.
So, sweet the rain's new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Mm-hmm. What's the next line?
Oh, I can't remember.
Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden.
Yeah. Wet garden's always good.
That was the end of it for me.
Do you know that summing
up?
I
made my excuses and left.
Petrichor.
Petrichor. Ah, now
my 5-year-old knows what petrichor is, and that's one of the great defining moments of my motherhood. That and the fact she likes the small faces.
60s music.
Yeah.
Finished and irrelevant.
No!
Anyway, we have had a text from James. Thanks very much, James. He said, there used to be a guy in Oxford who was bald but had dots tattooed within the hairline.
I saw a guy.
I always wonder why he didn't have rabbits tattooed. Anyway, I want to finish my thought, right?
Go on,
my thought about baldness, right, and stuff. And here's why you shouldn't mock people for going bald or, you know, trying to deal with it.
Right? I don't think it's the going bald. I think it's the...
What they're trying to do about
covering
it.
Covering it up.
Yeah. But I can't judge people for being a bit desperate.
No, I can't either.
You can't.
Listen, we women stuff all kinds of things into our bras.
Yeah. Because, you know what, in a way, it's an intimation of mortality. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of... It's a little tap on the shoulder saying, you know what, you're not going to live forever, are you? Your hair's falling out. So, this is why it taps into the fundamental... singular law of comedy, which is what can you make a joke about and what can't you?
Mm.
And you can make a joke about anything elective. You can make a joke about anything someone has had some control over. If it's something that someone has no governance over, no control over, then you can't make a joke about it. So race, sex, physical ability, mental ability, can't do it. You cannot make jokes about that.
Unless,
you can't make jokes about...
Unless
yeah, go on.
It's happening to you.
Yes, you can do that. That's... Yeah, of course. But you can't apply it in a general term. You can only talk about it for yourself.
Because it's like the idea of punching up and punching down, isn't it?
Exactly. But that's the single law of comedy. So you can't make jokes about people being ginger. I don't understand why otherwise enlightened people make jokes about people being bald or people being ginger. Who wouldn't dream of being racist. Just wouldn't dream of it.
Here's the thing about the ginger thing, right?
Yeah.
My sister, growing up, had the biggest bugbear about ginger kids. Oh, if I had ginger kids, I would give them back.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Okay, here's the thing. My sister had trouble conceiving and she was fortunate that she was in America and she was married to a guy who was in the RAF. So when they had problems conceiving, they got put straight on an IVF program, which they would not have got put on in this country because you have to fulfill all kinds of criteria.
Right.
And she got pregnant pretty soon after having a really, you know, unfortunate thing happen to her.
Hmm.
First baby out. Redhead.
There you go.
Boom. That's what happens, right, when you tempt fate.
You know what Ken would say?
Second baby. Complete surprise. Didn't think she could have children naturally.
Right.
Boom. Redhead.
There you go.
And you know what? Those boys are wonderful.
Of course they are.
They are the apple of my eye and hers and their father's. And they're the product of, like, generations of Celtic... You know, the reason why they're redheads is because it's a recessive gene and she's married to a guy who is Northern Irish, right? So even though he is dark-haired, it's there. And it's beautiful. And those boys are amazing.
There you go.
And it's got absolutely nothing to do with what colour their hair is, you know? It's just nuts.
No,
it's an old medieval thing, isn't it? The red-headed thing. Yeah. There's a big superstition surrounding it. And I don't even think that these days people know why they're taking the mickey out of redheads.
Yeah.
But in medieval times, it used to be seen as being unfortunate.
Let's deal with some any other business that's come through on texts and tweets and stuff. Jamie says, I've been giving it some more thought. I'm not sure what Jamie's been giving more thought. I think we were talking last night. If you didn't hear it, it was great. You should go to the website and listen again. Talkradio.co.uk. I don't mean that in a self-aggrandizing way. I just mean it was a sort of an interesting... We were talking about alpha males and the whole thing of the sort of...
Yeah.
Out of hierarchy, I think that most blokes, like, they don't consciously think it anymore because we don't live in that kind of society anymore. But I think there comes a point where most blokes would let whoever they perceive as the alpha male, they'd let him have a go if he wanted to. Not out of sexual attraction to them, but just out of respect. Anyway, Jamie says, I've been giving this some more thought. I'd let Ken have a go. Sycamore says, I was, and this is another interesting, Ken dominated this hour. Well done, Ken. He says, I was dying of leukemia. No one spoke to me, but I saw nothing to be afraid of either. Well, yeah, my dad spoke very similarly about his heart attack. He sort of said there came a moment where he was like, if this is it, so be it. I'm at peace. He didn't gaze into the screaming gates of hell. He was kind of okay. Penny Carr says that Will Young won and Gareth Gates came second.
And I think Will Young is brilliant. And I understand that he's had trouble with fame and stuff, yeah. But I think he's really clever bloke.
Yeah.
He kind of reminds me
of... He might be on my dinner party list, actually.
I think he'd be brilliant. I'd love to be friends with Will Young.
Yeah.
He kind of reminds me of Morrissey. Maybe slightly less awkward.
Morrissey.
Yeah, I love Morrissey. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, come on.
Oh, I love Morrissey.
Sometimes I'm hating myself.
A lot
everyone.
Of the Smith stuff was really upbeat, but people went with the miserable stuff.
No, it
stuff.
Wasn't.
Yeah,
wasn't,
it was. Wasn't, I love the Smiths. No, I love the Smiths. And I think Morrissey's brilliant. And I think, yeah, I'm going to say it. Will Young is in a similar...
Interesting. Yeah, I think his stuff is very thoughtful. I do agree. I'm not... And, you know, look, Morrissey and I see eye to eye on a lot of things. I just can't stand the music.
No. Oh, come
on. Most political music sucks. Billy Bragg. Oh, please.
Really?
Oh.
Really?
Yes.
You surprise me.
I'm going to play you a thing.
You disappoint
after the break. Me. It's not here to even play in the break, but after the break, I'm going to play you my Billy Bragg parody. I think it's sort of quite fun.
Oh, I love Billy Bragg.
Do you?
Yeah.
I cannot stand it.
We were getting on so well.
Those lyrics. Oh, man, what's that lyric? I've had relations with girls from many nations.
Yeah.
I made passes at girls from different classes. And just because you're gay, I won't turn you away. That's right, I'm working class, but I'm still cool with the gays.
Oh, but I love him for that.
No.
Really?
Awful.
I love that song.
Sexuality, young and woman, wild and free.
Really?
Absolutely cannot stand it.
Oh, God, I think we're going to fall out.
I've got 45 seconds to find my Billy Bragg parody, and then we're going to have it after this.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Fundamentally,
I subscribe to the idea that Tom Lehrer said. He's talking about folk music. He said, the problem with folk music is it was written by the people. I know the Spectator blogs are going to have a great time with that if they're listening. They think I hate the working class. I don't hate the working class. I love the working class.
Jake, don't do this.
But what I don't like is people trying to, like, it's got a message, okay, so you have to like it. Whereas you're not taking it on its merit as a piece of
work. You've got to remember that Billy Bragg was doing this at a time when no one else was doing it. And
yeah, but that doesn't mean it was any good.
Oh, you make me cry inside.
Have a listen to this.
No.
Yes, here we go. It's my Billy Bragg song.
No. Here don't.
I've written a song, it didn't take very long. It's about the chip shop and me dad. It was always such a lark, playing football in the park. But now he is dead and that is sad.
Oh.
I wish I could turn back time and be back in the 80s once more. If I could have my dad back, I could take Margaret Thatcher and the Falklands War. Jeremy can
be my new dad.
Jeremy Corbyn.
He's paternal but not patriarchal. He makes me glad that the 80s are back and racism's in. Cos my dad is Jeremy Corbyn. Now it's all Rubik's Cubes and ladies with pubes, and Russia is the baddie again. There's a Tory matriarchy, Doctor Who's on TV, and we're all scared about the Ukraine. We're returning to the Kabul, and there's no tomorrow to lose. But my dad is the one we adore, except for when it comes to the Jews. But Jeremy could be our new dad. The Blairites can dismiss him as a passing fad, but he'll read us a story and attack us in. Cos our dad is Jeremy Corbyn. Jeremy, you really rock. You look like the technician in the woodwork block. If you do not like what we say, your mum is Theresa May. Yes, your mum is Theresa May. See you all in Carluccio's. They do really good Rioja.
Oh.
Come on.
Don't.
That was bang on.
Oh, man.
That was bang on. You know that was bang on. That's
so
what
well.
Hurts. That's what hurts.
Right. There was a thing on Facebook recently saying, oh, is Catherine's chemistry better with Jake than it is with Ian?
There is no chemistry.
You just killed it, man.
There is no chemistry.
You just killed it.
You just called me man. That means you're serious.
I'm out serious. Of here.
It's like calling someone mate. Listen, mate.
Oh, mate.
Which means you are not my mate.
The worst
okay,
one is,
buddy.
It's when a woman gets... I've been called mate before, and it's always a little kick to the old imaginary testicles.
Uterus.
Kick in the uterus. Oh, mate.
Jem says, I agree about non-comedy political singers, including Bragg, but his Handyman Blues is a lovely song.
Oh, come on.
Is that a lovely song?
He did some clever things.
Did he?
I'll always have some affection for him.
Okay.
But that might be because I was brought up by Tories. Ah! Rebellion.
Oh, well, there you go. That's the whole rebellion. See, I was brought up by proper communists.
I think that's what's happening.
And so for me, I was like, who's this mainstream idiot?
And then I've met millennials who are like massively Tory, and I just don't get it. But I suppose it's always a kind of kickback against their parents, you know.
Everyone's got to rebel in some way, haven't they? I did it with... Jeff says, I always get Billy Bragg confused with Bilbo Baggins.
Oh, don't.
That's good, yeah. The French tickler says, barbers start the ginger hate because they blunt their scissors. Come on.
Oh.
Come on. Come on. Man, come on. Come on. Dan says he'd like to quote my philosophy on comedy.
Yeah.
At his gig at the Stand.
I think it's true. So your idea is that...
You can make a joke, right?
About stuff that people are making a conscious decision to do.
Exactly. So you can make all the jokes you like about men's stupid beards, because they're stupid. You look stupid. You're not a rugged mountain man lumberjack guy.
I like
guy.
Some beards.
You're stupid. You look stupid.
But you've got stubble.
And it's disgusting. Yes, because if I don't have stubble, I look like a fat ghost.
Oh,
literally, my face just morphs into a blob and I look like a fat ghost.
Okay.
That's fine. You can take... I don't mind you taking the mickey out of me for having stubble. That's fine.
I'm not going to take the mickey out of you. I like it. I don't know why. Okay, carry on.
Do you see what I mean? You can, so, I can say...
What about women
you
having
tie.
Massive, like, boobs, boob jobs and stuff?
Yeah, you're in... Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Even though there it comes to a place
area.
Of insecurity.
Well, exactly. There comes a grey area. Where
and
you can
conformity
sort of say,
with what they think is acceptable.
Exactly. And speaking of that, that's, I would say, the only grey area in this whole philosophy where you can't make a joke about someone's race or sex, physical ability, blah, blah, blah. The grey area is...
Women. Because you're so scared of them.
Wow, Kath.
Is it that?
No.
Go on.
Religion.
Oh.
Because... You could say it's elective. You choose to follow a certain religion. Mm. But if you've grown up indoctrinated into that religion by your parents, wow, that's a hard thing to defeat. It's a hard thing to overcome, to kind of step out and be more objective about, this is how I feel about it and I'm walking away, or I'm choosing something else.
Plus you're assuming that it's always wrong. And I think for some people, you know, I don't
I'm
mind.
Not saying it's always wrong. What I'm saying is I'm not entirely comfortable with mocking someone for their religion, no. Because I think that's not wholly elective. You're kind of, I think a lot of people would say, I was born Jewish, I was born a Christian, I was born Muslim. Like, it's very hard to make that call.
Yeah.
So that's the grey area.
Plus, people aren't always, you know, people can be religious without being horrible about it.
Well, yeah, of course.
Prescriptive about everyone else's lifestyles.
No, of course, but and for a lot of people, it provides a lot of comfort. Look at the work that the volunteers do when they go into the favelas where the police won't go in South America.
Exactly.
You know, amazing things come from religion. Some bad things come from religion too.
Yeah.
But I'm not ready to write it off just yet. That's all I can say.
What about religious people with beards?
Oh, they're idiots. Apart from Jesus, he was cool. Matthew says, good evening, Yappity Yap. You'll be relieved to hear we're now listening. Well, it's lovely to have you along. Where you been the last hour and 38 minutes?
You can call us, by the way. We should give the number out.
Yeah, you really... I don't need to... Like, we're basically filling until you ring. So it's 0344 499 1000. You know, I understand you think there's a strike thing, but what you've got to understand is that Ian says things he doesn't really mean, guys.
What?
Yeah. He tries it on. Yeah. He stirs it up. He's an adjutant. Someone say an irritant. I'm not saying that. I'm not really saying that. Oh, my goodness. I'm not really saying that. I'm just saying. You can still call. I think he'll forgive you. 0344 499 1000. I was going to talk about...
Go on.
I was going to talk about inventions and stuff, right? Because it's quite a cool story. This is in today's mail. IKEA are making new flat pack furniture.
Or IKEA, as they're trying to get us to pronounce it. I'm never going to do it that way.
Are they trying to get you to do that now?
Yeah.
Because Ned Sheeran pronounced it like that about 20 years ago on Radio 4.
Well, that's the correct pronunciation.
You sound like a... Wow.
Yeah, but I'm not doing it. It's like Sony. We all know it's supposed to be Sony.
It's Sony.
I'm calling it Sony. I'm going to call it Nestle.
Okay.
I'm going to call it Nestles.
What do you call an S-C-O-N-E?
A scone.
That's a scone.
Mm. Well, I think that's...
And the chemistry is gone.
I think we're done.
The chemistry is gone. Anyway, IKEA have...
IKEA?
They've created new flat pack furniture that just clicks together like a jigsaw. So all the Allen key business, all the bolt A into slot F, gone. It's literally, it just goes clock. They've invented a whole new kind of joint that will fix it all together.
Surely that takes exciting. Away from the couple's bonding, that the whole point of buying things
the
from IKEA is. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Matthew, for telling me what you were doing for the last hour and 38 minutes. That's
what
disgusting.
Was he doing?
Well, you don't want to know.
What?
Couple's bonding.
Oh, Matthew. No. How long?
Hour and 38 minutes, though.
Well done,
fair
mate.
Play.
Well
fair play.
Done.
In fact, there was a story about that as well, also in the mail.
An hour and 38 minutes. Okay, well, that's impressive, but the fact was you were timing it.
In the mail today, it says, apparently, a night of passion makes you more productive at work, even if you lose, this is the headline, an hour's sleep. I'm like, 3 to 7 minutes. Top.
How many
top,
times
top
are we
whack.
Doing this?
Yeah, for goodness sake, get a grip, guys. Being ridiculous. Anyway, I was thinking about inventions, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sort of sad about inventions and technology. And I mean, obviously, it's amazing what's been done now. But I sort of miss the days of old clunky clockwork technology where you could invent things in a shed. You know what I mean? You're
like
not going to invent
pots.
You're not going to invent the iPhone 8 in a shed anymore because it's so high end. You know, I was listening to a podcast. They turn gas into plasma in order to move microns of stuff around on silicon chips.
I just still want my breakfast to be delivered on a steam engine around the table.
Like in TCC.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? I mean,
exactly.
That's the dream.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And I love modern technology. I'm not doing a whole, oh, wouldn't it be lovely to go back to the outer steam? It's fabulous. I'm not saying that, but I do sort of... I sort of miss the days when we ourselves could invent things. And you know, this whole thing, I think Sweden have started doing this new thing where there's this massive tax break for repairs.
Oh, right.
Because they're tired of people just junking technology the minute it doesn't work. You know, your washing machine packs up, you just throw it away because it's cheaper to buy a new one to get it repaired.
Yeah, and there's this theory of built-in obsolescence as well, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Whereby they will make a product knowing full well that it's going to break within 2 years and you'll have to buy another one. Makes more sense.
Yeah.
Whereas in the olden days, when you bought a VCR player for 600 quid, Yeah. You expect it to last for a good 10 years, you know.
Yeah.
These days you buy them for 50 quid and you're lucky if it lasts three and you think, well, fair enough, I'll get a new one.
Exactly. So Sweden, they've done this thing where now I think there's a massive tax break for people doing repairs and stuff. So they're trying to make it cheaper to repair something than to throw it away. Now, that's cool. That is really cool. And I salute all of that. But I miss the days of... I had a Walkman, right? Mm-hmm. A Sony Walkman. It was my pride and joy.
Orange
I
headphones.
Bought it when I was... No, because this was like the best Walkman you could buy. It was called a professional Walkman. And it's the kind that they used to use at the BBC, right? Ooh. And this was like 25 years ago. I bought it when I was like 18 or 19. I saved up money. It was like really expensive. It was like 150 quid, 200 quid. And I loved it. And I went everywhere with it. And I recorded stuff with it. And it was like my favourite, most prized possession. I wanted to try and find something off a cassette the other day and I wanted to play it back and it doesn't work anymore. Mm. And I thought, you know what, maybe just the belt's gone. And so I started to unscrew it to try and fix it. And I suddenly had this flashback to like when I was sort of 16, 17, when, you know, that moment when your Walkman stops working, you think, I want to try and fix this. And it's not about repairing it because you can't repair it. You think you can, but you can't really. But... it's not about repairing.
I would just take the batteries out and blow on them.
It's more about the post-mortem. After the death of your personal stereo or other piece of technology, there was that moment where you do a post-mortem on it. You kind of go, well, how did you die? What's inside you? And for me, it was like a ritual rite of passage. It's like the last rites for a piece of technology in my life, where I'd unscrew it and I'd pull it all apart. And, you know, at the very least, I'd end up with a little electric motor and I could play with the electric motor. And I sort of miss that. That doesn't exist anymore. You know, you can't do that anymore. What's really exciting is I sort of thought, oh, well, I should just get a new Walkman, right? So I bought a new personal stereo, right, in a well-known electronics shop. It was like 30 quid. Disposable piece of technology. Comes with a USB cable. You plug it into your computer and you can transfer everything over. It doesn't work. It was rubbish. Oh. It was rubbish. Like, it got interference, not just from, like, Wi-Fi or my mobile phone. It got interference from the build-up of static electricity in my coat pocket. It's like, are you kidding me?
What, pocket lint?
Literally. The abrasion of... I mean, I won't tell you what I was doing, but like... you sort of think, this is pathetic. And I took it back and I said, I'd like to return this. And they said, okay, so any reason? And I said, yeah, because it's absolutely dreadful. And I found a place that repairs Walkmans.
Walkmen?
Walk guys, walk persons, right? And walk people. And I took it there and they fixed it and I'm going to go and collect it tomorrow. Okay. And I'm so excited. I went into the shop and it's like a little workshop. It's just off Tottenham Court Road in London, like central London where property costs a fortune. And there's four guys sitting there with little screwdrivers
and
little things, you know, and little magnifying glasses, and they're fixing stuff. It was the most heartwarming sight I'd ever seen.
What tape are you going to play in
so
it?
So overrunning. I'll tell you after this.
Jake Yap, in for late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Cinema Pollock.
Hello, I'm Jasmine and welcome to Cinema Pollock, the best place for cinema news, gossip, rumour and small bits of press release expanded out to try and fill in the weekly slot. Our investors have booked in cinemas up and down the country in the hope that people will download our utterly meaningless app. So far we've been running for 26 weeks and we've had 61 downloads. Rumours of a new Terminator film are spreading and Hollywood insiders, by which we mean some spurious idle speculation on a fan forum on a website somewhere, are saying that maybe Arnie could be persuaded to reprise it. Oh, what's the point? Here's me at a premiere for 2.5 seconds.
Bruce, Jim, Arnie, anyone?
Don't forget to download the Cinema Polyp app. I only get 50 quid a week for this, but they say it's really good exposure. And speaking of pointless downloads, Jake Yap's Sunday Best, the Talk Radio Sunday Breakfast podcast, is available for download from all good podcast providers free of charge every week. So why not give it a try and leave a review? For Cinema Polyp, I'm Jasmine. All of my real name is Leslie.
Okay. I didn't just run and have a wee at all. You did. Shut up. What? Shut up. Very good evening to you. It's Jake Yap in for Ian Lee all week this week. Normally I do Sunday breakfast here on Talk Radio and, you know, it'd be lovely if you wanted to join us at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. Who's going to do that? I mean, who's going to do that, really? Honestly.
Yeah, anyway, right. You okay?
Yeah, no reason. You were. Shut up. there's a filthy exchange on Twitter that I can't share.
Can you not just substitute some words?
No.
Oh.
So, there you go. Matthew says, this Walkman story. It's marginally more terrible than Batmobile chat. Sort it out. Don't make me come down there.
Is that my cup of tea over there? Can you?
Oh, yeah, that's your tea.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on.
The one with the...
I thought that was my tea.
Well, you don't have milk.
No, I don't have milk.
Because you're a vegan, you never mention.
Never mention it. Don't like to talk about it. Just like my charity work. Anyway, there's this new... Speaking of it, we were talking about inventions earlier, right? And stuff.
We were,
and fixing stuff. And yeah. There's this story in the Mail today about a new car. This is crazy self-driving car, right? Revolutionary self-driving.
Would you trust one?
Well, this is the other story, right? Which is about all the hacking thing. This Vault 7, this thing the CIA are controlling your smart TV and they're eavesdropping on you through the TV and stuff.
This is it, right? I love my computer, but yes. When it decides that it's got to do it's got to upload something new, there's nothing I can do about that. And there's no control in it. There's no talking to it. This is supposed to be my best mate. It doesn't.
Yeah.
So can you imagine that being your car? Things could easily go wrong with it.
Well, I agree.
As you know, I like to be assertive.
But not aggressive. Assertive, but not... in everything you do. Okay. I liked talking about this hacker thing, the CIA thing and spy TVs and stuff. Also in the Mail, they did this sort of infographic about all the things that the CIA have hacked, right?
I'm starting to think about putting a plaster over my webcam eye hole.
Do you know what's his name, the head of
Zuckerberg
Facebook?
Zuckerberg does.
Yeah, he does that, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he's more important than I am. But maybe I've got a more interesting life.
Babe, no, he's not. He's not, babe. Not to, you know.
To them, he is.
So, anyway, they've done this infographic, right, about all the things the CIA could possibly have hacked in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it is an assortment of pictures of technology with a sort of rubber stamp sort of effect thing. The word infected?
Oh.
With a question mark. So there's a picture of a
you
smart...
You don't get them from rhyming.
There's a smart TV and...
Infected?
And then there's a picture of vehicles. So this is what they're saying, self-driving cars and all the rest of it. Digital control system could be hijacked.
Infected?
And then phones. Smartphones could be controlled remotely.
Infected?
And then finally, DVDs and CDs.
Oh.
And they've got a picture.
What, my Adele CD?
Your Adele CD. And literally... Infected?
No, probably not.
No, almost certainly not. It's very, very hard to tap into something that's ROM.
Could have had it all.
Infected? Let's not cast aspersions. So, but that was to say malware could be used to hack computers.
And apparently malware.
The sign for computers in Daily Mail, you know, in their world, computers, sold CDs and that, isn't it? Computers. It's like most computers don't have a CD drive anymore.
No, I have to attach one.
Anyway, right, so they've got this revolutionary new car. This is a VW car.
It's like Kit from Knight Rider.
It's a concept
evil.
Car. It's so not... Does that look remotely like Kit from Knight Rider?
No, it looks rubbish. It looks like my Nissan Micra.
Yeah. I should tell you what happened.
Infected.
Infected.
That would explain a lot.
It says passengers can hail us, Cedric, by pressing a portable.
A what?
Well, I've blown the gap. They've
Cedric.
Called it Cedric. Are you kidding me?
That can't be evil.
The future is Cedric. Come off it.
Stop the nonsense.
Anyway, it says you can hail one by pressing a portable button carried in the pocket.
Well, that would make it portable.
Infected. Portable buttons? I've seen the future.
Is that a Cedric in your pocket?
Are you sure it wouldn't be an app? Are you quite sure it wouldn't be on your smartphone?
Yeah, on your watch.
Yeah, really? A portable button system. And boom,
infected?
Two-part swing doors.
What?
Yeah, the windscreen can also be an HDTV. And they've called it Cedric.
Of all the names in all the world.
Unbelievable.
Cedric.
So, yeah. So I'm very excited about getting my old tapes. I mean, what is my life now?
Are you not concerned that when it comes back to you, having been through the hands of some gizmo genii, it will be
infected? Of course it will.
If you want any tapes, I've got Mel and Kim Respectable.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a pirate, but it works beautiful.
It's, yeah, cassettes are killing music. Fact.
Turns out they didn't.
No. No, none of it kills music, really.
I also had, and one I thought was the sexiest song ever. It was I Feel You by Depeche Mode. Do you remember that? But, oh, I remember thinking it was amazing.
Don't stop. We've got plenty of time.
But look on your YouTube.
I saw I'll get it up. I saw a really interesting documentary about Depeche Mode.
Right.
I had no idea how kind of important. It was a really lovely documentary. It was made by this guy who he does really weird art projects. Mm-hmm. He did a concept album called Acid Brass, where he got a Yorkshire brass band to play like acid house tracks by 808 State and stuff.
Cool.
He did arrangements and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he did this documentary about Depeche Mode and like what an important band it was to people. And it was a really beautiful thing. It's like they had like lots of Russians sort of saying it kept us alive. We had this one cassette of Depeche Mode and
we really
loved
subversive.
And it was really exciting. Yeah. But another guy who, like, he'd ended up homeless for years, and he had a little Walkman, and he'd sleep under a bridge on the Thames in London.
God.
And he would listen to this over and over again. He said it was a lifeline.
That's
for
what
me.
Got him through.
Yeah. What was the song called?
I Feel You.
Oh, here we go.
Oh my goodness.
Mm. This is the one. Is it that?
Yeah,
what
is
that?
Yeah. Subversive, man.
Sounds like this.
You're infected.
Infected?
Don't you remember this?
No, of course I don't remember it. I was listening to Thompson Twins.
I love this. Give it.
Infected?
Give it a bit more. It's when he goes into the...
Do I not like this? No, I do not like this.
Wow, I thought it was amazing.
No, it's okay. Sort of like the Beach Boys, you know, I can take it or leave it.
Oh, you.
But don't get me wrong, I understand the cultural importance of these things at the time.
It was stuff that my mum wouldn't like.
And was that the fundamental point of it?
Probably, yeah.
Because that's kind of my theory about the Mighty Boosh.
I like the Mighty Boosh.
I think that was just because you knew your parents wouldn't like it.
Well, also...
Yeah. You've got 9 seconds.
I know Noel's girlfriend.
Is that Julia Davis?
No.
No, the other one. Okay. We'll talk about that while we go up to the news.
Talk Radio.
Coming up after the news, we've got Britain's liveliest, brightest, breeziest, and let's face it, first breakfast show of the day. It's Good Morning China, where we're going to be hooking up with Stuart Wigan live in China. That's after we catch up with the latest news headlines.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yes, indeed. A very good morning to you. It's Thursday morning already. Weird, isn't it? It's Jake Yap sitting in for Ian Lee. Thanks so much for all your tweets that have come through, some of which make lots of sense. Some of which, not quite so much. Let me have a look. We've got this one, which says, when is International Walkman's Day? Thank you very much, Alex, for that. We're talking about inventions. And Jeff, a couple of tweets. He says, 2 years ago, I invented edible Christmas wrapping paper in my shed. I think it was edible anyway. I ate it after my Christmas dinner. Thank you for that. That's a nice idea. He then follows it up by saying, you sound like Daleks in an STI clinic. Don't fully understand that one. Alex also says that he thought that the track we played earlier by Depeche Mode and Home were the best Depeche Mode tracks ever. Arthur says, I'll pop back later for two mics. Normally the presenters aren't so irritating. They ought to stop trying so hard to be with it. To be with it? Are you using the phrase with it? I mean, come on. And Hedy, and this is the thing, I can't work out if this is an insult or not, says, I am a scientist. The Kath Yap chemistry has the ionic bond energy of potassium chloride. Kath Ian Lee is more sodium carbonate. I have not the first idea what that means, but I enjoyed it very much. So thanks very much. As always, it's at Talk Radio if you want to get in touch. Or if you want to tweet me directly, it's at Jake Yap. And it's always delightful to find out what's going through your mind. But now it's time for Britain's brightest, breeziest and earliest breakfast show. Let's face it, China are going to be our paymasters within a very short space of time, whether it's a hot war or a cold war, a soft war, or just a hostile takeover bid. They run our power plants now. So we want to sort of acknowledge that and say hi to everyone in China, because they own us now. And so we've got the GMC. It's time for GMC. It's like Good Morning Britain, but done with Chinese stuff. And here's the jingle.
Good Morning China on Talk Radio.
And I'm delighted to say we can now hack all the way around the world and talk to Stuart Wigan, who is there in China. Are you there? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I've just got over a good International Women's Day that took place yesterday, during which time half of the women... Sorry, all of the women had half a day off.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's a big thing in China. It's a very big thing.
Wow. That's astonishing. Which half of the day did they get off?
The last half.
I nearly said such. Please understand, I'm being completely ironic, as you know, in terms of old school misogyny. When I said, was it the cooking half or the cleaning half? I don't mean that. Well, that's very progressive of China. Is China becoming a more and more progressive place?
True, yeah. I guess it makes up for other things that women have to deal with in Chinese society. The pay gap and other gender equality issues.
Okay.
Yeah, half day off really helps.
Yeah, it makes the world a difference, I'm sure. So you are a comedian and broadcaster in China. Your stuff obviously goes around the world on the web, and we'll point people to that directly. But you've been traveling. Xinjiang? Is that a place?
That's one place. Xinjiang,
is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, that's the furthest western province in China. It's actually got a border with Afghanistan, which has a small border with Afghanistan, and it borders about, I think, 11 other countries, including Pakistan. Basically, it's a very eastern part of...
Eastern or western? Western.
In China.
Yeah.
In the west of China, yeah.
Okay. What's it like? Stuart, if you can hear me, you're slightly breaking up. Can you like bite on a coat hanger or something?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, can you dangle off the balcony like that? That's perfect.
Yeah, true. Okay, sorry about that.
No, that's right.
So for me, going to Xinjiang, it's a bit like going to a foreign country. It doesn't feel very much like China because it's very. You know, there's a different ethnic minority that makes up the majority of the population there. Mm-hmm. And plus the food is very different.
How is the food different?
Well, it's a majority Muslim place, so there's no pork, obviously. So everything is mostly lamb, and it's really, really delicious. But there are some, you know, strange things that go on the streets with their street food. One place I went to, they were serving something that resembled ice and yogurt and honey, which sounds quite good.
Yeah.
And the guy that was making it, he could throw it up in the air and he could catch it in the bowl, which was cool. And we filmed it and we put it online. It was great. But he also had this little restaurant and it was a bit grimy. It was like a little bit of an old greasy spoon. And when he threw up this yogurt mixture, it without fail, every time, the ceiling was it looked like, I don't know, it looked about, it hadn't been cleaned in like 30 years. So you were basically drinking what was essentially like hair and grit. Oh, yeah, it wasn't. Generally speaking, their food and their culture there in Xinjiang is amazing. Unfortunately, it gets a lot of bad press, but we managed to show a different side of it.
Have you in your travels in China, have you ever been to any places where you've thought this feels quite dodgy? This feels quite scary to me.
Scary? No, to be honest, I'm not saying that just to big up China here, but no, I haven't. I always feel quite safe wherever I go. Yeah, you know, when you're going down the street in Britain at night, sometimes at night you think, oh, God, I better get home quick.
Yeah.
You never get that feeling here.
You never get that
maybe,
feeling.
Maybe I'll...
Oh, this is a really terrible...
Oh, I feel safe.
This is a terrible line, Stuart. It's quite hard to make out from what you're saying.
Is it really? Oh, no.
Could you maybe... hump a pylon or something? What should we do? We could try. Hello, it's very fragmented.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Right.
There we go.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what's up with this line today.
No, it's all right. Well, it's a blooming long way to China. Let's be honest. So you've travelled the country and you've eaten some things that, I mean, they're not for the faint-hearted, are they?
No, definitely not. I mean, yeah, I've eaten. There's a place called Yunnan, which is one of the most naturally beautiful places in the world. It's got the steppe rice fields. So it's...
Oh, wow, yeah.
It's one of the most photographed places. We got there, and every place in China has something called a kefu, which is its, you know, special dish, which British towns don't seem to have, really. But anyway, so we decided we wanted to try some of this place's kefu. And we went out the back in a restaurant, and there were some buckets on the floor. And in the buckets, there was what appeared to be tripe. So we thought, okay, we'll have the tripe. And what appeared to be something else, it looked like a plant. We're not quite sure. Anyway, came out and just popped it on the table. It wasn't cooked. It was raw. It was pig skin.
Oh.
Just pig skin and tree bark. And needless to say, we all got ill that night. We had violent food poisoning. It was quite awful.
Oh.
But generally speaking, the food's great. for instance, there's a new metropolis, basically, that's sprung up. It's not new, but for people outside of China, they might not have heard of it. It's called Chongqing. It's huge. It's on the Yangtze.
Mm-hmm.
And... their specialty dish is hot pot, obviously, Chinese hot pot.
Okay.
But it's the hottest hot pot in China. It's like blow your head off spicy.
Oh, wow.
So we went to this, and it was a previous bomb shelter, I believe. They built into the caves, and we ate these spicy hot pots there. But they also eat fish bladders in their hot pots, and if you leave it in too long, it goes rock hard.
Oh.
So... And it inflates because of the it wasn't the best thing to eat with a hot pot. But yeah, generally speaking, as I said, Chinese food's great, as I'm sure most British people are of the same opinion.
Yeah, of course. Well, I admire your open mindedness and your spirit of embracing everything there. I
just want to say as well today that there's some news that's come out. If you've heard about this, in China, 609 out of 2,257 of the world's known billionaires are Chinese.
Wow. That's simultaneously exciting and slightly worrying.
Yeah, the majority of the population is going to be loving that news here. This means they're the best again.
Yeah, back on top, number one. Stuart, thank you so much for joining us this evening again and telling us more about China. Interesting about the line. If people want to find out more, where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at China Comedy Stew or on Facebook at Comedy in China. And I'm so sorry about the poor line today. I don't know what's happened.
No,
sorry.
Don't worry. These things happen. It's probably it's purely atmospheric and not at all China hacking the phone call. It's probably the CIA. Thank you so much, Stu. We'll talk to you tomorrow. That was Stuart Wigan live from China. Amazing stuff there, I think you'd agree.
Good morning, China, on Talk Radio.
He's been around, hasn't he? Personally, I've always dreamed of being taken up the Yangtze. He's actually done it. Some nice tweets coming in. Thank you very much indeed for your tweets. It's at Talk Radio if you want to get in touch. Just ring us up. I mean, you know, we're just here. 0344-499-1000. We've got it varies night by night. It's anywhere between 70 and 80 operatives standing by to take your call. 0344-499-1000. I don't believe this. Matthew's tweeted. I mean, he's usually right about these things. He doesn't just make stuff up. He says, did you know that Trump has just registered a trademark for Trump escort services in China? Come off it! I don't believe that. Lots more love coming in on Twitter. Saba says, I think Catherine... Saba. Sorry?
I look forward to taking Saba's next phone call when he rings in.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Sharing the love. I think Catherine's got a very attractive voice.
Shame about the face. Happy International Women's Day.
Yeah. He says, lul. I'm just joking.
Yeah, okay.
Laughing out of loud.
Again, I look forward to taking your call, Saba, when I'll be laughing out loud.
There we go. The show is okay, but it's not late nights with Ian. That's why I'm hired. You don't understand. I'm here to drive the median down so that you're all grateful when he comes back on Monday. It's very straightforward.
I mean,
I don't know why people don't understand. There's a very subtle game being played here. I have to make a show that's sort of almost just about listenable, but is still dismal and wretched, so that you're happy when Ian's back.
It's not dismal and wretched, it's just not the same.
Oh, okay.
You lot are spoiled. This is your problem. I feel like slapping your legs.
It's fine.
But I think some of you would enjoy that, Saba.
Yeah, here we go. I was going to talk earlier about perpetual motion.
Yeah, and I mistook that for that thing.
Newton's cradle. Yeah, with the balls that swing to and fro.
If you let that go, will that go forever?
No.
It slows down, right?
Yeah. That's not perpetual motion.
What is that?
So perpetual motion is any kind of device or contraption that, once started,
will
without
carry on forever.
Added energy source will carry on forever.
And it's kind of the holy grail scientifically, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. It would break every law of thermodynamics. Well, the first and second ones. It's an over-unity device.
What are the first and second laws of thermodynamics?
First one is never go back to
a lit
thermodynamic once you've lit it.
Yeah.
And always keep your thermodynamics in a biscuit tin.
Yeah. With a torch.
Yeah. Never let a pet near your thermodynamic.
No. Don't throw one.
Never throw earth.
Don't throw one.
Don't hold thermodynamics.
I got hit with a sparkler in the face once.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's awful.
It was bad.
I'm sorry to hear that. Are you okay?
I was fine. It'd been out for a while, but I didn't know at the time. And I thought, gosh, that breaches the laws of thermodynamics.
Yeah.
Especially around the facial area.
Yeah, and now I'm going to breach a few more. I think I've invented it. Everyone says you can't be done. You cannot do it. I think I've invented a perpetual motion machine. So here's what I'm going to suggest. You need like a piece of blank paper. And a pen or a pencil, mm-hmm. or a compass and a vein. And because you might need to like draw the diagram as I describe it. And then, because there must be some people who know physics and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Listening.
Listen to this. Yeah.
Listen to it and tell me, is this feasible? Could this work? We'll find out after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Neat and funky. Don't forget, in about 25 minutes' time, we've got some Choose Your Own Adventure erotica, which is going to be read out cold by Catherine.
Well, you say cold, but apparently it's pretty hot.
Oh, it's sizzling hot, mate.
People like
absolutely.
It delivered in a really dull northern style.
Yeah, they love it.
Whatever turns you on, mate.
Today's plot suggestions came from Alan. So the nice thing is
which
on Twitter...
Which Alan? Caddick?
No, Alan Watson.
Oh, I don't know about him. He might be a massive pervert.
Well... Can I say the words forced rhubarb to you?
Oh, my goodness.
So, yes, you'll be able to influence the narrative. It will continue tomorrow night at Jake Yap, if you would like to have your
The first show I was ever given to present on my own was The Gardening Show.
Oh.
Yeah. And my friend Willie, real name, rang up to talk about how he was having problems with his spuds. We did all that thing.
That's nice.
Yeah. I didn't have a garden at the time, so.
Saba's been back in touch.
Oh, I bet he has.
Yeah.
Is he all right?
He's quite, I think, desperately trying to sort of disseminate anything,
yeah,
any tension between you.
He will have to talk to me if he wants to ever get on air again. So, yeah. I mean, it's very foolhardy to cross me, Saba.
He says, I will call in again soon, Catherine. Say hi to Ian for me. So I'm trying to do like desperate exclamation marks for you. Good work, guys.
I look forward to talking to you.
And the guy is not that bad, whatever his name is. Ha ha! Later!
Lul.
Okay, Lul. Lul Saba. Well done. Thank
you. I'm ruffling.
No, I'm roofling. James, are you roofling?
Yes, I'm roofling.
Oh, it's nice to have a roofle, isn't it?
It is, on a Wednesday.
Lul. How are you this morning?
Yes, I'm very well. Good morning, Jacob. Good morning, Catherine.
Hey.
Good morning, James. It's lovely to have you along. Have you invented a perpetual energy machine, or are you a physicist?
Still working on it.
Yeah.
We all are.
Yeah.
Was there anything specifically that's got under you?
No. I just was sort of just ringing in to give my Sunday morning support.
Oh, that's very lovely of you. I appreciate
it. It sounded like a bit of an Ian Lee date yap divide sort of with the listenership.
There's only love. There's only love. This slot has always been about love, I think. Is that fair to say, Catherine?
Peace and, yeah.
It's a family.
Yeah.
You have your little squabbles, but fundamentally. It's all about the she's not looking at me now. Love.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about physics?
No, I was not very good at physics.
Okay.
I didn't really come away with many sort of science-y GCSEs or anything like that.
Well, I think I've invented perpetual motion and therefore the solution to the energy crisis. Yeah, yeah. Can I describe my thing to you?
Yes.
Okay, and tell me if this sounds plausible to you, right? So this is a machine that once you set it off, it has to just be able to keep going under its own steam.
Volition.
Yeah. Forever, right? So here's the idea. Let me see if I can remember this thing. So you have any sort of body of water, right? So the sea, a lake, whatever.
Pond.
And you have a platform floating on the top.
Okay. I'm imagining.
So this is why you need a pen and paper, right? Then you have like a weight on like a chain or on a rail or whatever, right?
We say platform. Could it be a lilo? Person on
it could be someone. It could be a lilo. It needs to be quite a substantial lilo.
All right, I'm imagining a big lilo. Go.
I'm imagining like oil drums, gaffer taped together with some planks over the top. Yeah, like a raft.
Dragon boat race thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've got a weight, right, suspended on either like a chain or a rail or a string. It doesn't really matter what. Okay, that's not the point. The point is it's attached to the floating platform.
Yeah.
In some way,
mm-hmm.
And it's at the top of the water's level, right? And then it releases, right? Mechanically, it releases.
Oh.
So it starts to descend. Now, as it descends...
Whoa.
Because it's
is
a weight.
Is it on the raft?
No, it's underneath the raft in the water.
All
right,
okay,
right?
Yeah, oh, I'm there.
So it starts to descend, it follows gravity, right? Now, as it descends, it's pulling this chain or whatever, right? And by that means, is turning a dynamo and generating some sort of electrical charge.
Okay, that's a big leap. Yes, I'm with you.
But it would. Like, it's the same principle as a dynamo on your bicycle, right?
Go.
You know what I mean? Mm. Like, the wheels turn and it does a thing and it makes some electricity, right?
You're still with us, James?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Most definitely.
Okay. So it does that, generates some electrical charge, right? Which gets stored in a battery or whatever on top of the floating platform. Okay?
Yeah.
When it gets to the bottom of this rail or the length of chain or whatever it is, I don't know what that length would be. It might be 10 feet, 50 feet, 100 feet. I don't know what would be optimal.
This is all very unscientific. Right?
I guess it depends how big the pond or ocean or
good
lake.
Good point, James. You're on board.
Yeah.
You're in for a 30% share with Catherine.
Mm. Well,
she's still considering a stock option. What have you got to lose? Right. So if we all chip in £1 million, we can make a prototype. Anyway, it gets to the bottom, right?
Yeah.
And it latches on to a pipe.
Oh.
right?
I didn't expect
so,
the pipe.
So, coming down from the floating platform, there's also like a tube.
Right.
So the weight comes down alongside this tube, right? And when it gets to the bottom, the tube, it comes straight down and then sort of basically bends so that it can latch onto this weight.
James, am I the only one who needs a picture at this point? Because I do.
See, I was trying to...
the tube came out of nowhere.
Here's your platform, right? Yeah. Here's your weight, right? And it comes down. Here's a sort of rail.
Yeah.
With a tube, right? There's the tube. So it comes down to here. And there's your weight there now. And it's next to this tube. It's a hollow tube with air in it, right? This is the best radio I've ever done. It connects to that tube just mechanically, right? So it just latches on. It falls down and it naturally just hooks onto this tube, right? And opens a valve.
Oh my God, there's a valve as well.
So you've got your battery on top of the floating platform that has stored some electrical charge. Now, that battery then kicks in and pumps air down the tube into a balloon of some description.
There's a balloon?
Which is attached to the weight.
Oh, my.
Okay. That then inflates, and when it reaches a certain point of optimal inflation, the valve automatically shuts off again. The weight detaches, but now the balloon, which is now inflated with air, rises back up to the surface, generating more electrical charge. When it gets to the top, the balloon deflates mechanically. It just latches onto another valve and it's released. And then the weight will naturally drop down again, generating electricity again. Now, the question is...
Do you get this, James, or are you just nodding and smiling at home?
No, I get it. It just depends whether the sort of the mechanisms of it require the energy that you're producing to keep it going, if you see what I mean.
Well, Hedy on Twitter says, I'm a physicist. You will lose energy through rubbing and friction. I live with three Italian ladies. I lose energy.
Oh, he's the one, is it? Right, okay.
but yes, of course you will lose some energy, but the point is, will you still have enough energy to inflate the balloon?
Inflate the balloon again.
To re-elevate the weight and reset.
Yeah, but would you actually be generating any surplus energy that would sort of charge up a battery or anything like that?
That's the great unknown.
I always thought kinetic clothing would be a good one, but you'd probably have to carry some large sort of like battery about in a rucksack or something.
I think in Hedy's case, kinetic clothing might be a really good idea, but for anyone else.
Yes.
Some sort of pendulum mechanism.
In that case, could the kinetic clothing could set on fire, couldn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it'd be like those phones and electronic cigarettes and stuff.
Yes, yeah. Don't put a Samsung battery. Don't charge it on it.
I'm sure they've recalled those and they're all fine now. That's all fine.
Yes, of course. Yeah, no, sorry. I didn't mean to indicate or libel anything.
So, James, tell me, here we are. It's 12:30.
James is nice. We don't have...
Yeah, you're lovely, James. It's 12:30 in the morning. What are you doing tomorrow? What's going on?
I'm going to work. I don't have to start until 10 o'clock, so I don't have to go to bed massively.
What job is
early.
That then?
Yeah, what do you do, James?
Male model.
I wish. I'm just a gardener. Nothing exciting.
You're an artist.
Awesome. Where do you garden?
Just sort of people's back gardens, just private sort of just garden maintenance. But do the same. Actually, I could. I do actually do the garden of a celebrity.
Do you?
As it goes. Yes. Yeah.
Can James tell us? Can he tell us?
Give us some clues. Give us some
clues. Don't say who it is, but give us some clues
through the keyhole.
Yes. Yes. Tell us about their garden. Describe the garden, and we'll see if we can guess. I tell you what. Yes. Hang on. We've got to play a trail, and then we'll do it after this.
Okay.
Hang on.
Okay.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation.
Jake here, in for late-night Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
So, just now I outlined my perpetual energy machine idea and whether it works or not. Jem says, I've got a degree in electromechanical engineering that I've not used for 15 years, so largely forgotten. But the answer's no.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. If we all pitch in £1 million...
I haven't, but you lost me at the balloon bit.
And Dan says, I have a city and guilds in farm machinery, and I agree with Jem.
Yeah.
Fine, all right. So, it was a nice idea. Anyway, we're talking to James. He's a gardener, and he's a celebrity gardener.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Yes.
Before we go through the keyhole.
Yeah, because we're going to do a through the keyhole and try and guess who it is.
Through the veranda.
Through the veranda.
Okay.
Yeah, through the trellis.
Through gazebo.
Yeah, trellis, that's the one. Yeah. I was trying to think.
Right. Have they got... I bet they've not got a trampoline.
Oh, yeah.
No.
That will kill a garden.
They do have a swing hanging from a walnut tree.
Oh, classy. Oh,
that's adorable.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it is pretty adorable.
So is this... would you describe this as a very contemporary, modern-feeling garden, or is it sort of a more classic garden?
No, it's more classic, yeah.
More your classic.
Yeah. I'm thinking older family, then.
Yes, yeah.
It's older family, okay.
Older family, yeah. Grown-up children, yeah. Grandchildren.
So it's not like my lawn with skid marks in it where they've like, you know, been playing football and stuff. And we've got a playhouse where everything's going slightly rotten in there because we left stuff in there over the winter.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the most well-kept garden, but then that's because they don't really pay me enough.
Would you describe it as well-established?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, it's actually the grounds of an old priory. So it's and the priory still exists.
Clue?
On,
question
on
mark.
The grounds.
Okay.
Yeah.
An old priory. And what region of Britain are we talking about?
Oh, well, Oxfordshire.
Okay. Tell us about, is there a floral component to the garden, and is it big, bold blooms, or is it something small and subtle understated?
I'm actually one of two gardeners that work there. And
Rolling ground.
It's large lawns, big sort of lawned areas and sort of wooded areas, and I do the sort of mowing and trimming and sort of the hard grafting, and then the other chap does more sort of the flower beds and the sort of, you know, wisteria and stuff like that.
Wisteria, I love a wisteria. Yeah, are you riding on, or are you pushing?
Oh, riding on, yeah, right, it's that sort of place.
Kath's just gearing up for the erotica in 10 minutes' time. okay, I guess we need to start asking some questions now in the way they do on Through the Keyhole.
Just yes or no.
Yeah, well, no, you could do the applause. You know, the audience always applauds if you're starting to get it right.
Okay.
So if we're really bang on, can you go...
Or just clap.
Okay, yeah.
Or just clap. Okay. I'm guessing that this is a... I'm going to say the celebrity involved is male.
Female.
Probably female.
Yes.
Thanks very much. That's good.
Are they a television personality?
Oh, okay. And is this someone... who's more of a presenter than an actor? More of an actor than a presenter. More of a
musician.
Former musician. Former musician. Okay.
See, if it had been a couple of years ago, I would have sent, because you know who famously lived in Oxfordshire? Musician.
Who?
Scylla.
Oh yeah, but she's not going to be. She's
sort of along the same sort of line.
Oh.
Hang on.
Is it Lulu?
Hang on. No, it's not Lulu.
Same sort of lines, but
I'm thinking I've got a couple of names in my head. But one of them is not so much TV as is this someone who does radio?
It's music.
So not Elaine Page. Is this someone who really hit the big time in the 80s?
No. It was a bit of a minor sort of comeback in the 80s, but very minor.
Oh, okay.
Mostly 60s.
Yeah.
Is it someone like Sandy Shaw?
Oh, spot on.
Amazing!
That's the weirdest thing. I was listening to, on the way to work, I've been listening to, apart from talk radio, which of course is fantastic,
always,
Sam Delaney at Drive Time.
Oh, yeah.
But I've also been listening to Johnny Marr's autobiography. in book form, right? Yeah. And he's been talking about how he did a single with Sandy Shaw.
Yeah, she did a version of Hand in Glove.
She did.
That was her minor 80s comeback. Yeah.
And that's the weirdest thing. When they first started out, well, before they'd started out properly as a group, he said, oh, do you know what? It'd be brilliant. We need to bring Sandy Shaw back. And it ended up happening. Oh. So you worked with Sandy Shaw, or that's you worked for Sandy Shaw?
For, yeah.
Ah. Oh.
That's very cool.
And, is she all right with you?
Yeah, she's lovely enough. She's got quite a good sense of humour. She can be a bit sort of an odd diva sometimes, but
why not?
Can't we all, darling?
She used to be married to Jeff Banks, didn't she?
Sandy Banks. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I've met briefly the daughter that she has with Jeff Banks and the grandchildren, but
wow.
But yeah, no, she's remarried and he's not a celebrity at all.
Oh
well, do you know what?
That is a really awesome story.
And she's got a swing in her walnut tree.
On the walnut
and
tree.
Why not?
Totally. Yeah, it's lovely grounds. Absolutely beautiful.
Well, if you're
and,
doing
yeah,
it, James.
Yeah, they're sort of like on the doorstep of the country and they complain about having deer in their garden and stuff like that.
I always end up with my mum in the garden. It's like, Mum!
Oh, dear.
She's never ended up there again, have you? James, that was the most fun ever. Thanks so much for calling this evening. Really appreciate it.
I'm glad we actually managed to come up with something to say.
It's brilliant that she was in my head and it happens to be the right person.
Babes, it's spooky. It's all out there, isn't it? It's just cosmic strings.
I might have
away.
To YouTube Sandy Shaw's version of Hand in Glove now just to get it out of my system.
That's a good idea. I've got a little something here for you. James, thanks so much. We'll speak to you soon.
That's okay. Thank you.
Take care.
Take your shoes off.
I walk along the city streets you used to walk along with me. And every step I take recalls how much
that reminds me.
We used
what?
To be.
I'm in contact.
Hang on. Hang on, here it comes.
When there is always something there to remind me.
Yes, go on, Kath.
Well, I'm in contact with Herb Alpert's people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I want to get him on.
That's really cool.
And it might happen. So we're going to add him to a list of people who might be coming on the show.
I'm going to take everything back that I ever said earlier in this programme about 60s musicians, all right?
Sandy Shaw was brilliant.
I'm taking it all back. We've got some erotica after this.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Not like.
How can you not like the Smiths?
Don't like the Smiths.
Oh man.
Sorry.
This is where you and
don't
I
like
part ways.
Don't like the Smiths.
You don't like Shakespeare?
No, I hate Shakespeare.
Oh.
Pointless, irrelevant. Might as well do a crossword.
No.
Yeah.
Don't say this stuff to me.
Okay. That's.
Anyway, it's been
there.
Nice.
And the Smiths. God, you really mean it. That's what I hate. You really mean it.
Absolutely passionate about those two things.
I'm passionate about Thompson Twins.
You know the Smiths were my secret first dance at my wedding.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Because, if you've ever heard There Is a Light That Never Goes Out, you'll know that it's not grandma friendly, but it's absolutely about that desperate kind of I need to be with you kind of love.
Mm.
That maybe grandma experienced once.
Okay.
But she's not going to appreciate 10-ton trucks killing the both of us to die by your side. The pleasure, the privilege is mine. Right, so we had some Ella Fitzgerald for the grandmas for the acceptable face of the first dance of the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
But me and my husband both knew that when There Is a Light That Never Goes Out came on, that was our proper wedding dance.
Oh,
yeah, exactly. So don't talk to me about not liking the Smiths, because we will not agree.
Do you know, I knew this show was going to go like this.
I knew,
feet under the table, halfway through the run, got cocky, started swinging it about a bit, and now bitterly regressing it.
Telling me what you don't like.
It's time for Chapter 3 of Love Behind the Lines.
Oh, blimey.
Our interactive choose-your-own-adventure erotica short story, where you get to decide what happens tomorrow. It's at Jake Yap with your suggestions after you've heard the storm that's about to be unleashed on you now. Alan yesterday tweeted me and said that at some point, there needs to be some forced rhubarb, a Yorkshire specialty. Yes, the story so far. George and Bess are properly shafted, stuck in a lift at the bottom of Shittlingthorpe Mine in the 80s during the miners' strike. Meanwhile, Bess's mother, Fanny, has reported her daughter as missing to Inspector Drew P. Kex, who she's probably going to get banged up by. But for now...
Knocked up, not banged up.
Banged up in the cell. He's a police. Okay. She's at the police station reporting the.
Okay.
Honestly.
Sorry, I misunderstood.
Oh, unbelievable. But here, now then, is Chapter 3. Read on.
Oh, blimey.
It's from The Arrow. This is Kath reading this cold. Feel free to censor on the fly if you must.
Inspector Kex lifted the little flap thing on his counter and opened the little door thing and came round to the front desk of the police station to minister to the gently weeping Fanny. Oh, flipping heck.
What's wrong with that?
Now, he reassured her, don't take on so. We'll find your daughter, I promise.
Good accent.
I'm being silly, she said, a silly woman. I'll not have talked like that on International Women's Day of all days, said Inspector Kex. Oh, well done.
Okay.
Fanny, despite herself, managed a little chuckle. Yep. You daft bint. Jesus, she replied, hoping no one was listening in the Newcastle area. I'm only joking, said Inspector Kex, who had in fact written several essays about the inherent sexism within the British justice system. I wonder, Mrs. Amathwaite, if I might interest you in a little conducted tour at cells. Oh, that sounds nice, she replied. Along they went, and Fanny soon forgot all her woes as they peeped through the flaps in the doors and laughed at the crackheads going through cold turkey, at the desperate single parents who'd been incarcerated for stealing food for their children, and the ISIS terrorist cell who'd planned to blow up the chip shop in homage to Stan Boardman. Finally, they came to the final cell at the end of the corridor. It was quiet here. Fanny could feel the inspector's breath on her collarbone as he lowered his voice to whisper. His breath smelled lovely. You know, like sausages. And this, he murmured, is my red room of pain, Mrs. Hammerthwaite. Would you like to see it? Aye. Fanny was taken aback. It was as if her own voice, which she'd found answering. Yes, it was as if it wasn't her own voice, which she found answering. Oh. Yes.
Did I mistype that?
Yes, I would.
Sorry about that.
Your fault. The inspector had a roguish gleam in his eye. A lascivious smile played across his lips, and his legs were twitching. Fanny felt his eyes burning into her, sensing his intent. She felt she ought to say something casual to lighten the mood. This Books Fizz album you put on's really, gumph. It was a crude embrace, but effective. The inspector was on fire. He hadn't had relations, which is a posh saying, doing it, for over 18 years. Fanny felt his tongue probing her mouth, exploring all the corners and dislodging bits of cheese and onion crisp. She dropped the packet and found her hand sliding up his thighs and playfully fondling his truncheon. Flipping it!
Let me just see if anyone's tweeted the safe word. Hang on. Carry on.
The inspector gasped as he felt her cold hands on his hot leg. He leaned down and began sensuously chewing the buttons off her blouse. He was so excited that he swallowed them. God, thought the inspector, this woman's so hot. So he gave her 2 paracetamol. The inspector was grunting like a pig. Fanny was whistling like a budgie, and now it was getting serious. Fanny clambered on top of the inspector and stuck 4 fingers into his mouth. It was very sensuous. The inspector sucked them, stuck an ice cube up her... Really?
You can say that, can't you?
Up her bum?
Yeah, you can... That's sensuous.
Fanny gasped and tore out one of his teeth. The inspector was hard now, and I mean 40 PSI. He groaned as he felt her ankles dig into his shoulder blades. It was very sensuous.
It was very sensuous. Very sensuous prose.
They were rocking together, building the rhythm. She bit out a mouthful of his arm. It was very, very sensuous.
That is very sensuous.
They'd stepped up a gear now and turned into a human threshing machine. Every thrust was accompanied by the twang of a tendon. Fanny's liver had burst. The inspector had lost the use of one eye. She licked her lips, he licked his lips, she licked his lips, he licked her lips and face. She bit his ear and chewed up a bit of his hair. It's very sensuous.
It's very sensuous.
It's passion, that.
It's incredibly
like
sensuous.
A toilet flush in an airport. It carried them away with a wave of a hand. It was very sensuous.
So sensuous.
He was above her on the bed now, sucking a dirty great hickey off her neck. It was very sensuous.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I didn't mention that.
He bounced marbles off her ass.
That's sensuous. Whoa, that went up a notch.
No, not sensuous. It was extremely erotic.
Oh!
According to your typing, and very, very sensuous.
Yeah, sorry, okay, yeah.
She microwaved a tub of margarine for 25 seconds and poured it over his...
Come on, don't break the sensuous mood.
She microwaved a tub of margarine for 25 seconds and poured it over his winky. Don't try this at home, it'll probably singe. He moaned and gasped with ecstasy. It was so sensuous now that they thought their privates might explode. Speaking of privates, he descended into her secret bed of welky paradise. Jake?
I'm like Barbara Taylor Bradford. I told you earlier about the fountainhead of the womanhood.
Welky?
Welky. Why not?
She made a funny gargling noise. She was
Can
so
you do it? Do the noise. Do the noise.
I have no idea what you're on about. Dan says, is it something like...
Yeah. Dan says, blooming heck, I've forgotten the safe word.
Oh, like chewy. She made a funny gargling noise, a bit like Chewbacca, and was so overcome by sensuality in that. She put bulldog clips on his nipples and gently rubbed a cheese grater over his foot.
Come on, it's sensuous. Get into it.
Stick.
It's fine.
It was very sensuous.
Mm.
As he climaxed, the inspector experienced unprecedented levels of physical pleasure as she peeled an orange directly into his eye. Fanny herself bit her tongue clean off as the crashing waves of passion flooded her, giving her a nosebleed that lasted for 6 years. I'm sure you don't need telling just how sensuous it was.
No, hell no.
As they hurtled towards the climax, they both screamed in agony, but it was very sensuous. And there they were. This is like 50 Shades of Grey, but
I know,
but
more sensuous,
better.
More sensuous.
And there they were. Great spasms flooded over them as skin broke and flesh tore and the fluid from the inspector's burst sinuses poured down his face. Fanny filled the room with the fragrant scent of her helpless blow-offs. Jake!
What? It's sensuous. I'll embrace it.
Meanwhile, down in the mineshaft, George and Bess lay in the gloom, too tired and hungry to make love. George, said Bess, do you think they'll come for us soon? Of course they will, replied George. You've only got to follow the trail. What trail? Answered Bess. Well, I were nervous on the way here. They lay together in silence in the gloom for a while. Then George said, I want you, Bess. I want you so much. That says maybe, replied Bess faintly. But I'm far too hungry to do anything for you. Maybe, said George. And maybe not. How's that? Said Bess. Oh, how's that? Said Bess, voice feeble.
Yeah.
Look at that, love, said George. There's something to nosh on.
Keep going.
Something was stirring in the darkness, penetrating the gloom. It was long, stiff, pale pink and thrusting straight up into the air. Oh, George, murmured Bess. I told you I was too weak to do that, however nourishing it's supposed... It's rhubarb, said George. Proper, tasty, shitling, thought-forced rhubarb. That'll keep you going, lass. Proper sensuous.
It was quite sensuous. I was thinking that. That's exactly the word I was thinking. Sensuous. If you want to decide what happens next, tweet me at Jake Yap. That is it from us for tonight. We will be back tomorrow from 10 o'clock. Thanks, Ed. Thanks, Catherine. We'll see you all tomorrow from 10.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Pick up your phone and talk radio.
We'll get you talking.